Calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609, that would be... That's the facts, man. My goodness gracious. You want to get up, you want to get to me. My goodness gracious. You can do that. You can do that by emailing me at revolution@lizbrown.com. You can fax me at 454-6609. You can call me at 1-877-920-WGNU. You can listen to me online at WGNU.net or LizBrown.com, LizzBrown.com. And we're streamed. We're streamed and we're iPodded also. The wake-up call is iPodded at, I'm iPodded at, WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can also check out the archives if you want to get a little bit of more information. You want additional information about the shows that happen on here on the wake-up call. Get to LizBrown.com. Check out that corner store. We have some wonderful stuff for you. I am Liz Brown. I don't know, y'all. I'm trying to find the... Help me. I feel like Helen Keller here. I'm trying to find the liberal media, and I can't find it. I don't see it. I don't see it. Because if the media was so liberal, why wouldn't the media be reporting that? This is the first time that there has been a complete party split on a Supreme Court nominee coming out of committee. This has never happened before. There's always been one or two or three or four or a unanimous decision coming out of the nomination process for Supreme Court justice. This has never happened before. Why isn't the media making the big deal out of this that it is? This is a big deal. No Democrat supported Alito coming out of committee. And it looks like there are 40 Democrats that are set to vote against Alito. The question becomes, your job is, you should be writing, you should be calling every Democratic senator and telling them, stay strong and filibuster. Tell them the F word. Holler the F word. Filibuster, filibuster, filibuster. You have the numbers. You have the reason. If not now, when? Because it's all about the fight. It's not about the posturing for the fight. It's not about the photo ops for the fight. It's about the fight. You've taken the one step. None of you voted for him coming out of committee. He got no Democratic votes. So you already made him mad. You know he's going to get on if he gets on there. He has payback. You can't middle around the bully, okay? You can't, you know, kick him and run. You got to take him out. And if you've decided to kick him, which you have, then let's get it on, baby. Let's get it on. Take him out. You can't spit on the bully and run away because you started the fight. You've already hit Alito. If you don't take him out, we're toast when he gets to the Supreme Court. Let's get it on. Come on. Let's get it on. Every one of you out there that calls himself a Democrat, whatever. Everybody out there that calls yourself a progressive. Everybody out there that calls you that who is clear-eyed about the damage that this man will do to our nation. You best be on the phone right now. And just call yourself. When they ask you who you are, say, I'm Dr. Smith. I'm here to insert a backbone in the Democratic Party. Step aside. Step aside. And the instrument of use is a filibuster. I don't use a scalpel. I'm using a filibuster. My name is Dr. Brown. I'm here to insert a backbone. Nurse. Check this out. Harry Reid. And you should need to call him, Harry Reid, and say, look, you've been to grade school. You've been on the playground before. No take backs. No take backs. If you say it's like asking Gotti to clean up the mafia, then you need to stick to it. Don't come back and apologize for that. I hope he has no take backs on this one. Harry Reid. I went to college in the 1960s and studied government. One of the things I remember discussing was a quote by Lord Acton, and the quote is as follows. Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. It has been many years since I graduated college, but I finally understood what Lord Acton meant. Harry Reid goes on to say, Republicans today control the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the White House. They have absolute power, and it has corrupted their party and led to a culture of corruption that we now see in Washington. We have the Republican leader of the House of Representatives admonished 3 times for ethics violation and under indictment for money laundering. We have the White House, where an employee has been indicted for the first time in 135 years. There's Karl Rove, who is under investigation, and David Safian, a man appointed by George Bush to be in charge of hundreds of billions of dollars in government contracts, who was led away in handcuffs because of his dealings with Jack Abramoff and others. And then we have the Republican K Street Project, which has invited lobbyists inside of our nation's capital as long as they are willing to pay the right price. What is the State of the Union in the year 2006, Harry Reid asks? We have a national security policy that protects Halliburton's bottom line with no bid contracts, but sends our troops to Iraq without body armor. We have Vice President Cheney's energy policy that helped big oil make $100 billion in profit in 2005, but this same policy has America paying $70 a barrel for oil and families paying twice as much for heat and gasoline as they did in late 2001. Harry Reid goes on to say we have students priced out of college by skyrocketing tuition. Republicans in Congress who want to cut student loans in order to pay for special interest tax breaks. We have 46 million Americans without health insurance, poverty numbers on the rise, but a president whose economic policies benefit the wealthy and well-connected. This is what happens to the state of our union when leaders put special interest ahead of the American interest. These are the costs of Republican corruption. Harry Reid goes on to say, the question is this, will President Bush acknowledge these costs when he delivers his State of the Union next Tuesday night? If history is any indicator, in a word, no. Harry Reid goes on to say, watching the video earlier, I was reminded of another lesson from college, this one taken from George Orwell in his book 1984. In his book, Orwell spoke of doublespeak, naming something just the opposite in order to cover how unpleasant it is in reality. As we saw in the video, George Bush has been giving us double speak for years. He utters platitudes about helping Americans when he's really helping his special interest friends. Example, when he wanted to let energy companies release more pollution in the air, he called it the Clear Skies Initiative. When he wanted to give tax breaks to his special interest friends, even though it meant adding more than $50 billion to the deficit, he called it the Deficit Reduction Act. His No Leave No Child Behind Act is leaving children behind every day because he refuses to fund it, and now his new Medicare drug benefit hardly resembles a benefit for seniors. Harry Reid goes on to say, Tuesday night, it is time for George W. Bush to end this pattern of deceit. In his State of the Union, it is not enough for him to declare that the state of our union is strong. Americans can do better, and only the pessimistic would suggest anything else. In his speech, George Bush needs to tell the American people what he is going to do to end the culture of corruption and lay out solutions that will make America strong. The president can start with national security. In his 2005 address, George Bush said, quote, in 3.5 years since September 11th, 2001, we have taken unprecedented actions to protect Americans. Huh. It only took 7 months and the winds of Katrina to prove him wrong. Ouch. Nice. Nice. Nice, man. That was a good one. That was a good one. Harry Reid goes on to say, Americans have heard tough talk from President Bush over the last 5 years, but the reality is his policies have made America less safe. The president's failed record speaks for itself. Just 4 years ago, Osama bin Laden attacked America and took 3,000 lives. The president said at that time he wanted bin Laden dead or alive. But 4 years later, bin Laden is still on the loose and continues to threaten America. Meanwhile, the number of terrorist attacks across the world have increased, and we now face the risk that Iraq will become what it was not before the war, a haven and a launching pad for international terrorism. 4 years ago, Bush declared war on Iraq, Iran, and North Korea as axis of evil, whose nuclear threats we needed to preemptively strike. But 4 years, 2,300 American lives, and more than $250 billion later, we have found that Iraq has no nuclear weapons. Meanwhile, the problem of Iran has been outsourced to the Europeans. North Korea's nuclear weapons program has likely quadrupled. 4 years ago, the Bush administration said, President Bush said in his State of the Union address, quote, America will always stand firm for the non-negotiable demands of human dignity, which include the rule of law. But 4 years later, we have heard George Bush has ignored the rule of law in order to spy on Americans. We have also found that the White House has given the green light to torture, even though it violated our laws and has made our troops less safe. After reviewing the Republican record, writes Harry Reid, I now know why Ken Mellman and Karl Rove want to play politics with national security in 2006 instead of having an honest debate about who can keep Americans safe, because this is a debate the Republicans cannot win. Republicans run good campaigns, but when it comes to actually governing and protecting Americans, they have a record of incompetence. Democrats know that keeping America safe means more than talking tough. Well, it means providing our troops proper planning and equipment like body armor. It means securing our ports, nuclear plants, and cargo holds. Tuesday night, the president must unite the nation behind our most important goal, keeping our people and way of life safe. We need to hear honesty and humility from the commander-in-chief, not swagger from the commander-in-chief. After national security, the president needs to talk honestly about what he has done to the economy. In his 2003 State of the Union address, Bush said, we will not deny, we will not ignore, we will not pass along our problems to other Congresses, to other presidents, and to other generations. That might not be doublespeak, but it's deeply dishonest. President Bush is passing along problems to other generations. He's bankrupting our country and placing an enormous tax on our children and grandchildren simply so he can hand out tax breaks to special interests and the wealthy. Next month, because of George Bush's reckless spending, America will hit a debt ceiling of $8.2 trillion. In 2005, we had the third highest budget deficit ever, $319 billion. 2 years later, we had the second highest budget deficit, $378 billion. And in 2004, when George Bush was reelected, we had the highest budget deficit ever, $412 billion. In baseball, it's three strikes and you're out. But under the rules of this White House, that fiscal record is a home run for special interests. George Bush has no one to blame but himself for today's fiscal mess. Not a weak, not 9/11, not a weak economy, and certainly not the Democrats. That's Harry Reid. That's Harry Reid. 4540400. Okay. Okay. There's some tough stuff in there. Okay. Okay, now what? You sign this pledge of honesty. All right, now what? What you gonna do? I say, you filibuster Alito, and during the State of the Union, you stand up, you pick your coat up, and you walk out of the chamber. Okay, you don't have the stomach for that? Stand up, turn your back. Stand up, or you can do what the veterans did. The veterans of foreign war, when George Bush came to speak to them, you know what they did? They had these little covers that they put over their ears, and you know what they called them? BS protectors. That's what they didn't use the letters BS. You could do that. You could put on your BS protectors over your ears. You could do something. Y'all need to come up with something. Y'all need to come up with something. Because something's coming after you. Something's been coming after you. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. We have much to talk about. I see you. I'll get to you after the break. 4540400 is the phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Oh, baby. Don't let go of my hand. We got so much stuff to do.
She's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't know what to say. So he prays. Whatever, 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 whatever happens. Don't let go of my hand. Whatever happens.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Look at this traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Eastbound 40 at 170. Look for an object in the roadway. It's partially blocking the right lane. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and Big Bend looks good. Northbound 55 from 141 to Carondelet. No problems there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry. Look for everything to be on the move. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Lindbergh. No problems there as well. Eastbound 70 from Mid River Mall all the way to the Blanchette Bridge looks good. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain to West Florissant. No problems in that area either. Westbound 5570 split at Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at LaCleek Landing looks good. Northbound Illinois Route 3, no delays approaching the Poplar Street Bridge ramps. And westbound 64 to 5570 split, no problems there. Gravelway at Hampton, there's reports of the traffic lights not working. They are on red flash. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Toyota owners, winterize your car at a St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer. Radiator drain and fill, visual inspection and battery check, all for just $39.95. That's Toyota value. See dealer for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Mostly sunny today, high around 45 this evening. Clear skies with a low around 25. Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 50. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 35. Then on Friday, partly cloudy skies once again with a high near 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 28 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 29 and clear skies. The wind chill, however, makes it feel like it's 20 degrees outside. So bundle up if you're going to the bus stop. That's a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the hour, top of the 7 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4, Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Sports fans, NFL Hall of Famer Lynn Swann wants to be the next governor of Pennsylvania. A black man running as a Republican. Maybe he wants to be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger, too. He says he's the only candidate that cares about the needs of the people. If his best qualification is he can get more money than his challenger, then he might very well make it. We'll take a look at this peculiar turn of events with hard-hitting reporter Dave Zirin from EdgeOfSports.com. Wednesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch of sock water, too. And if that's too bright, goes too far. It's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you. And if I see those moments red, give your lover the
best. Give your lover the very best. Oh, this is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
How you doing, Liz Brown?
Kevin, good morning.
Hey, have you ever seen that picture, Hombre, with Paul Newman in it?
What's the name of the movie?
Hombre.
Is it a Western?
Yes, ma'am.
No, I'm not into the Western genres.
But I want to tell you what he said. This white boy, Frederick Mark, told Patty... This white boy that was raised by Apaches that you would see one thing, white people stick together. You know, we told him, y'all better. And I've been telling people for years that there's no difference from the Democrats and the Republicans. I gave up on the Democrats a long time ago. I think we need to start something else.
Okay, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Okay, you have a nice day.
Take care of yourself. 454-0400. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
Yeah, I listened to the hearing for Judge Alito for U.S. Supreme Court, and he was very invasive, and I guess he didn't answer the question, in my opinion. And demeanor and appearance was different than Judge Roberts that was up for hearing and got confirmed. So I was glad that the Democrats in the committee didn't vote for him. They voted no. And I emailed Senator Talon and Senator Bond to vote no, but I don't know, them being Republicans, they probably won't. But
the deal here is that what the Democrats, it's not enough for the Democrats in the committee to vote no to Alito. They have a bigger job than simply voting no. They know the deal. They know that this man, just like Roberts has already proven himself exactly to be what I said he was going to be and what others said he was going to be. And the Democrats capitulated like they've capitulated on so many issues. The Democrats need to filibuster this man. And if they don't, every time they come to my community, the community of African descent, and they tell black folks, you need to vote for us because the Republicans are going to put in these horrible people in the Supreme Court. You need to support us. Forget everything else. Bump everything else. Support us because it all that matters are the Supreme Court nominees. Well, if they do not filibuster this person, once again, I say, and I am correct in saying, what good are they?
Well, I agree, Liz, with you on that. I think they should filibuster him. And I'm a Catholic,
We'll see if you agree, because here's the thing. Come next election, I will listen to hear if you say the same thing that the Democrats all, we all, it's like people have political amnesia. Come next to the day before the election, they forget all the bad stuff that these people have done or haven't done for you, and they say, well, you know, it's the lesser of two evils. Evil is evil. In lesser or greater degree, it is still evil.
Well, you being a U.S. Justice, that's a lifetime position, so it's not going to go away. You're talking about 20 to 30 years.
We'll see what the Democrats do, and if they don't, nobody should support them in the next election.
Okay.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I don't know if this. I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. A top-level Washington or Pentagon review of defense strategy. That sounds kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? Pentagon reviewing defense strategy. What would that consist of? But anyway, the Pentagon, as they were reviewing their defense strategy, they said, you know what, we're going to bolster the U.S. military with thousands more elite troops. They're talking about special ops forces, Delta Force operatives, Rangers, Navy SEALs, Army Special Forces. And so they're going to bring the level of these types of military folks to their highest level since Vietnam, while adding billions of dollars to the budget of the 52,000 member strong Special Operations Command. Oh, and it's located in Tampa, Florida. One of the largest gangs would gain. Was that a slip of the tongue? Largest gangs would be the Army Special Forces. Soldiers trained in languages and navigating foreign cultures to work with indigenous forces and operate in a 12-man A-teams. Special forces would expand by one-third from 15 to 20 active-duty battalions, creating about 90 more A-teams to deploy to regions considered vulnerable to terrorist or extreme influences. Currently, the bulk of the special forces teams are rotating into Iraq and Afghanistan. I gotta say, and I don't think I'm alone, a secretive administration, an administration that pursues secrecy with a fervor and an energy and an intensity that no other administration in the history of this country has pursued secrecy. And in addition to pursuing secrecy, being addicted to secrecy, at the same time, this is an administration that is pursuing you in a way that you haven't been pursued before. They're spying on us. They want to know who we're Googling. They want to know what books we're reading. They want to know who we're talking to. They want to know what our financial records are. They want to know who we voted for. I am not comforted by an administration that loves secrecy past its heart and wants to know everything about you and me. I'm not comforted. I do not feel safer with the knowledge that they want to create more special ops forces. An administration that kidnaps people and secrets them away to torture chambers. An administration this is an administration that says, well, I think we should be able to torture people. We need more special ops. We need to pump more billions of dollars into special ops. Jesus. Do they need more special ops in America? Is that where they want to put them? You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
A couple of days ago, I was watching CNBC, and a young lady on there, Ms. Connelly, I don't know who she is, who she works for. I'd never seen her before. And she said, we shouldn't be criticizing President Bush at this time.
Because?
Do you remember when, I'm not a Clinton fan, but you know, remember Ken Starr? How many millions did we put into that for Whitewater?
Mm-hmm.
Limbaugh was on there every day accusing Hillary and Bill of killing Vince Foster.
What was her explanation for why?
I had no idea. I looked up. The woman was on her. She says, we shouldn't be criticizing the president.
Because
I thought, well, that's the American way.
But I would love to hear the theory behind that.
Exactly.
Because why?
I don't know, and I don't know who she worked for. I would, you know, it's one of them things where you're half paying attention. You know, you're walking through the room, and I stop.
She's not alone. She's not alone with the, a lot of folks out there take the position that Americans shouldn't criticize the person that's sitting in the White House, and I can't think of a more American thing than that.
You and I are criticized every day, and rightly so. By anything we do, our mothers and fathers criticize us. That's, and as part of the American life is to call your politicians to check. That's not being anti-American. But, I mean, they accused, now the same people that were accusing Clinton and his wife of murder and every other thing you could think of, and all they could come up with was a blue dress, spent millions and millions on it, are now saying, oh, no, no, don't question George.
And I've got a roll. Thanks
okay,
for your
thanks.
Call. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Stay with me.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools. One smothers light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline London. The Bank of England is expressing concerns over mounting U.S. budget deficits, saying it poses the risk of disrupting global markets. Deputy Bank Governor Rachel Lomax testified yesterday at a global financial conference that the risk could be increased if a rise in long-term interest rates becomes part of the equation. Another bank governor expressed an opinion that recent low interest rates may have encouraged investors to take on more risk than they normally would have. There's also fear that foreign investors may stop buying U.S. currency assets, which will cause the dollar to drop in value, causing more sell-off of American assets, which in turn could lead to higher interest rates and a spiral that could derail world markets. And Dateline Portland, Maine. A new law has gone into effect that mandates companies that make televisions and computer monitors have to pay for the safe disposal and recycling of those products in the state of Maine once they're thrown away. This legislation is similar to that in Europe, where manufacturers have to pay for sending those products to recycling centers to have the toxic metals removed. Towns in Maine have been charging consumers $20 to put their electronic items in the landfills, but that price will be dropping to just $2. TV screens contain mercury, lead, and other toxic materials. The disposal of electronic devices is already being called the fastest-growing solid waste disposal problem that we have. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
It's the biggest change at WGNU in 30 years, and it's coming Monday, January 30th.
The St. Louis Art Museum in Forest Park is hosting a performance by classically trained jazz pianist Peta Williams, who has been voted the best jazz musician in St. Louis 5 times by the readers of the Riverfront Times. The event will be held this Friday in the Grig Gallery from 6 to 8:30 p.m., and best of all, admission is free. For more information, call 314-721-0072. A musical note from WGNU Radio.
Hey, WGNU listeners, this is Keith Gray of Higher Ground. I'm moving from the 1 to 2 p.m. slot to the 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Monday through Friday slot on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I will talk to you then.
The Missouri Department of Conservation is holding a river ramble February 1st from 9 a.m. to noon at the Columbia Bottom Conservation Area. The program is a leisurely 3-mile hike for adults on the River's Edge Trail. Binoculars and field guides are recommended. Call 314-877-6014 to sign up. Trailblazing news from GNU.
Sports fans, NFL Hall of Famer Lynn Swann wants to be the next governor of Pennsylvania. A black man running as a Republican. Maybe he wants to be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger, too. He says he's the only candidate that cares about the needs of the people. If his best qualification is he can get more money than his challenger, then he might very well make it. We'll take a look at this peculiar turn of events with hard-hitting reporter Dave Zirin from edgeofsports.com. Wednesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake-Up Call. The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
My life goes by, and at times I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have faith it can get better tomorrow. But it won't if you keep treating me like I'm invisible.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, Liz Brown.
Yes.
My brother Isaiah.
Yes.
When you have your school watch today, can you ask the person about the new regulation that they got that kids now have to walk 2 miles to school?
What are you talking about?
I got a notification that they're going to change the 1 mile distance that kids need to walk to school to 2 miles.
What was it something in writing?
Oh yeah, it's a new.
Can you fax that to me?
I can.
Okay, why don't you fax that to me at 454?
Mm-hmm.
6609.
Okay, and also, did you know that they're going to change the parade route of the Amalone Parade?
No, I did not.
Yeah, the new head of the Amalone Children's Home has decided to change the parade route to downtown Market Street. Saying he wants to have it more inclusive. And I just wonder, do they know that how this is going to devastate the income of the people, the businesses on not the bridge. I know they claim that 100,000 black people come, but we know that that's easily to 300,000 to 400,000 black people come to a parade.
More inclusive.
And I think that.
So are they going to move the Mardi Gras parade to North St. Louis to make it more inclusive?
That they probably will get a better response.
Huh.
They'll probably get a better response after Mardi Gras. People won't be as hard-headed.
My point is that there's never a request to make anything else more inclusive.
Yeah,
You know, that's my point. My point is that why don't we move the Veterans Day parade to North St. Louis?
It would
to
probably
make it
get
more,
a better response.
Well, whether it gives a better response or not is not my point. My point is it would be more inclusive.
I understand.
Because that's the argument that they're saying that the reason they need to move the move Annie Malone from North St. Louis to. All right, enough. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz. You know, I've been listening to talk shows during the night, coast to coast, and I tell you, this hysteria the administration is building up about Iran is really terrifying, and you have right-wing hosts saying they have nuclear weapons. They're bringing them to the U.S., to an American city. We must go and annihilate them, and it's terrifying.
As Scott Ritter said on my show, they don't have it, and if they wanted to have it, they would be 4 years out. They have already signed on to the nuclear proliferation agreement. Unlike Israel, who has nuclear weapons, what Israel and the United States is asking Iran to do, no other country that signed on to the nuclear proliferation treaty has had to do. They've allowed for inspections. We know where their stuff is. It is insane to say that we have, and there is no clear and present danger. There is no immediate threat. There is no threat at all from Iran and their nuclear and their ambitions.
You know, Liz, as you know, preemptive strike was last carried out under Hitler. That's what he did.
Prior to Bush.
Thank you, Liz.
Prior to Bush. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Brown.
Dee, what's up?
You know, what I want to ask you is, you want us to call the senators in the other states since we
absolutely
don't have any Democratic senators?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Call the senators in the other states. You call Ted Kennedy. You call them all, because here's the thing. While you are not a constituent of theirs,
uh-huh,
you would be a constituent for their national candidates.
Okay, and then I missed that part earlier.
Yeah, uh-huh, absolutely. It is imperative that, because what they're saying is that, and what their Democratic handlers are telling them is that Americans are going to hold it against you if you are obstructionist, and the Americans will hold it against you if you don't fight back.
Okay, thank you, Dr.
All right, D. 454-0400 is my phone number. That's right. You need to call every single Democratic senator that you can think of and say, tell them the F word. Filibuster. Filibuster. That is the F word. Filibuster. Because if you don't filibuster this guy, then you're no good for us. You've already done something historical, and you need to be given credit for that. It is an historical fact, and you won't hear it on any of the news stations. The fact that the Alito vote out of committee was strictly along 100% party lines, never been done before. That's a big deal. The Democrats are saying something that they've never said before. Well, there's another step that you have to take. You have to filibuster. They're saying that there are 40 Democrats that are going to say no. Well, then you've got your numbers. And the Republicans, they're the party. They're the culture of corruption. Give them their head. What do they say to a wild horse? Give them their head. Let them, you're supposed to give them their head. They will do it. They will self-destruct. You've got to. But you got to get on them and ride them. You got to get on them and ride them. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Ah, my goodness. We have so much stuff to talk about. And the next hour, we will be talking to Peter Down, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. And then the following hour, we will be talking about Lynn Swan. You know, he's a Republican and wants to be governor. We're going to talk about that with David Zirin, a journalist for edgeofsports.com. I'm Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Stay with me. We'll be back.
Our house. Please do not was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop
listening. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war.
920 on your AM dial, WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Latest from ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Why did he have the gun in the first place? That's what a judge in suburban Washington, D.C. will probably ask a Maryland man today. He's under arrest in a shooting yesterday at a daycare center in Germantown. Police say his son had a gun in his backpack and he shot a 7-year-old girl in the arm. Maryland Attorney General Doug Gansler says you can't call it an accident.
He knew he had the gun in the backpack, knew he was in control of the gun when he shot the 7-year-old girl. So it wasn't one of these things where he's sort of thumbing through his backpack and, oh, my goodness, there's a gun in here.
Police say the father is a convicted felon. The girl's wound is not life-threatening. A filibuster? Probably not, but there are plenty of Democrats who say they plan to vote no on Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito.
It looks like the most partisan Senate vote on a Supreme Court nominee since Clarence Thomas 15 years ago. That vote was 52-48. By contrast, half the Senate Democrats voted for John Roberts as Chief Justice just last fall. But almost all are expected to vote against Samuel Alito.
ABC's Vic Ratner on Capitol Hill. Full Senate debate begins today. We're still waiting to learn the fate of Jill Carroll, the American journalist who was kidnapped in Iraq. Her captors' only demand is that all female detainees being held in Iraqi prisons be released. Well, tomorrow, 5 of them will leave prison, but Washington says the timing is just a coincidence.
More than 250 foreigners have been taken hostage in Iraq since the U.S. invasion, either by insurgent groups or by criminal gangs just to make a profit. And at least 39 of them have been killed. No word on the fate of reporter Jill Carroll of the Christian Science Monitor. The deadline set by her captors has already passed. It's possible, however, and certainly her family hopes, that the release of these 5 women may mean that she could go free as well.
ABC's David Wright. Election day for the Palestinians, candidates for Hamas or Fatah. ABC News.
You buy ginger ale at Walmart's everyday low prices. It arrived on a Walmart truck and traveled over 140 miles from a Walmart distribution center, where it was processed by over 1,000 Walmart associates and moved over 10 miles of conveyor, with over 230,000 cases that same day. Why send ginger ale through one of the most efficient distribution systems ever conceived? To keep prices low for you, and we're all proud to be a part of it. Walmart. Always low prices. Always.
Let's face it, most everyone can use some extra cash from time to time.
Ted is a Check and Go associate.
So I tell people that no matter what the reason, you can get the cash you need at Check and Go. We'll hold your personal check till payday. Contact us. We'll explain everything and make it easy for you.
Call 1-800-561-CASH to find a Check and Go near you. Or get a cash advance online at checkandgo.com.
Cash advances subject to certain terms and conditions. See website for details. Ohio license 750310. Rhode Island license check casher.
You could now officially call animation giant Pixar a Mickey Mouse operation. Disney spotted. ABC's Alex Stone has the story.
Mickey Mouse!
In recent years, Disney has lost footing in the animation world, and there's hope within Disney that Pixar can turn that around. The price tag is $7.4 billion. Disney CEO Robert Iger.
Pixar has actually shown the world the way that one way to make great films is by using great technology, technology that they've actually created.
Just about everything Pixar has touched has turned to gold, including Toy Story, The Incredibles, and A Bug's Life. Alex Stone, ABC News, Hollywood.
Walt Disney is the parent company of ABC News. Well, as the saying goes, clothes make the man, and in this case, it's skirts that a New Jersey high school student wants to wear. He says it's only fair if girls can show his legs, so can he.
He's gotten the ACLU to fight for him, and now the school district says, all right, skirts are fine, just no shorts until April. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's time for a report of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. This update is brought to you by State Farm Insurance. In the news, pilot error is to blame for a deadly 2004 plane crash in Kirksville. The National Transportation Safety Board released its report yesterday on the October 2004 crash of a corporate airlines flight at Kirksville Regional Airport. According to the NTSB report, the two pilots failed to effectively monitor the plane's rate of descent and also engaged in unnecessary conversation on approach to Kirksville. The board found that fatigue probably played a role in the pilots' decisions. Both pilots and 11 passengers were killed in the crash, with two passengers surviving. A 17-year-old faces a long list of charges in a crash that killed two members of one family. Police say DeAndre Banks was driving a stolen car when he hit 49-year-old Rose Vassar's car Monday, killing Vassar and her 51-year-old cousin John Gray. Vassar's brother remains hospitalized with serious injuries. Banks is charged with two counts of second-degree murder, as well as second-degree assault, armed criminal action, assault on a law officer, resisting arrest, leaving the scene of an accident, and tampering. Also in St. Louis, two of the three suspects involved in a weekend police shooting are facing charges. Early Sunday morning, authorities say an off-duty St. Louis police officer fired on the suspects in the 1300 block of McKay, as the suspects allegedly tried to steal the officer's car. A 14-year-old was shot and wounded and now faces charges under the juvenile code. 18-year-old Andrew Hampton is charged with attempted stealing of a motor vehicle, first-degree property damage, and second-degree tampering. Another adult suspect is still at large. And finally, a 39-year-old man is expected to be charged today in the city of St. Louis for breaking into several churches. St. Louis County Police Lieutenant Tom Grimm says Frank Zadanowski is already facing charges in the county for similar crimes and has admitted to breaking into as many as 15 area churches over the last several weeks. Zadanowski is charged in St. Louis County with three counts of second-degree burglary, two counts of felony stealing, and one count of misdemeanor stealing. He faces up to 20 years in prison for each charge. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by State Farm Insurance. Switch to State Farm, and your great driving record could help you get great discounts. Talk to Agent Mike Bounds in O'Fallon today and get your reward here and now. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sours traffic and weather. Sours traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270. There's an accident. The right lane is blocked about a quarter of a mile back up at this hour. Eastbound or westbound 44 between Washington and Highway 50. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 44 from Antire all the way to 270. Looks good. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 44. You can expect slow traffic. Eastbound 40 at Mason Road. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to Earth City Expressway. Everything's on the move. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to New Florissant. Look for no problems to report. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes all the way into 79. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Spady. Look for heavy volume going on there as well. Westbound 5570 from 64 on the Poplar Street Bridge is stop and go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit to Laclede's Landing. Look for heavy volume there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street. Look for that to be slow all the way to the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 64 at 5570, look for slow traffic there. Gravois and Hampton, those lights are not working. As well as McCausland and Southwest, those lights are not working either. And New Halls Ferry at Pershull, those signals are on flash as well. Also a report of an accident on southbound Highway K at 364 on the outer road. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Enjoy a little daylight savings at McDonald's. Stop in for one of three delicious breakfast extra value meals like the Egg McMuffin, hash browns, and a small coffee, all for under $3. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday, mostly sunny today. High around 45 this evening, clear with a low around 25. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 50. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 35. And Friday, partly cloudy skies once again with a high near 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 28 degrees. Wind chill makes it feel like it's 21 outside. Lambert Field is reporting 29, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. Take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? To use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
dignity. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Peter Downs this morning. Peter, good morning. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Very good. What should we start with this morning, Peter? Go ahead. Go ahead.
There was a special school board meeting last night.
Okay. And what was this about?
This was to hear a proposal for a charter school.
They had a special meeting to hear one proposal for one charter school?
Yes.
Well, that's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, yes. And my understanding, or my sources tell me that the three board members, Clingscale, Archibald, and Jackson, had insisted that the board owed this group the courtesy of listening to them and give a presentation.
Wait a minute. I just have to back up and reflect upon those words.
The irony of it.
The irony of it. They felt that this special interest group was owed the courtesy of a listen to, as opposed to parents that want access to them or citizens that want to hear about where their money is being spent. Special interests deserve a sit down. Listen to heart-to-heart discussion, but citizens don't.
That's right. You hit the nail on the head.
All right. So this special interest group came before the school board. Who was there at this meeting that represented the St. Louis Public School Board?
There were five school board members there. Clinkscale, Archibald Jackson, Bill Purdy, and Veronica O'Brien.
Okay. So Fowler was not there, and neither was Jim Slay.
That's correct.
All right. So, what happened at the meeting?
Well, this it really turned out to be a pitch for a contract.
Huh?
This charter school proposal, they were calling it Centers for Academic Success. Yeah, everybody has a name these days.
Yeah. The Clean Air Act by George W. Bush. How's that working out?
Yeah. What it really amounted to is this was ACE Learning Centers, which lost their contract with the school district, trying to get some money back, or get their hand back in the till, I guess you could say.
And let's talk about ACE for a second, because I understand why they hooked on that money. They're not hooked on phonics, but they are hooked on that money. That was good money for not having to do nothing. Talk about ACE.
Yeah, ACE Learning Centers. They were started by in 2001. The guy started it. Retired assistant superintendent of Hazelwood Schools, and he was hooked up with Floyd Cruz. When they started 2001, they had a small contract with the school district. When Roberti came in and closed the alternative schools in St. Louis, that'd be the 2002-2003 school year, 2003-2004. And then he gave a big contract to ACE.
And when we say big, we're talking millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
All right.
Yes. And they had that contract, and what this worked is essentially kids who were not students, high school students who were in trouble for not attending school, were sent to ACE Learning Centers. They would be there half a day.
What, 3 hours?
3 to 4 hours a day. That was 3 hours when they had the contract with the district. As a charter school, there would be some stiffer requirements. They'd have to do 4 hours.
but when they worked for the district, the kids had to come for 3 to 4 hours. Did they have to do anything when they were there for the 3 to 4 hours?
Yes. There's ACE uses a computer learning program called Plato. And it actually... back in 2003, the school district bought the same learning program. So we have the same thing in our high schools. And it is, the guy who recommends the program into the school district, who's then assistant superintendent, Larry Hutchins, he described it as a remedial learning program. It helps students grasp the things that they were taught but didn't really understand. So it finds the holes in their learning and helps them fill those holes, so it brings them up to grade level, but it doesn't move them forward any.
But the beauty of the thing from ACE's perspective was they got paid whether the students came to the program or not, didn't they?
No, they had to show attendance. Probably yes, because they reported attendance to the school district.
So there wasn't
any independent accounting of who was actually showing up there. School district said, we're sending you 30 kids, and ACE would report back, oh, yeah, we had 30 kids this week.
Well, if the kids stayed for the whole 3 hours, they didn't have to stay for the whole time, did they, in order to get credit for being there?
Right. They have ACE. They called it they have some fancy term for it. But they give the kids, say, all right, do this unit on the computer. You know, if some kid could do it in half an hour, he could leave.
And ACE still got paid.
All
right.
Now, they had one of the things they emphasized, because there's a big controversy over this. When they had the contract, I think, you know, people asked questions about it at board meetings if they had a chance. We talked about it on our show and elsewhere in the community about whether, you know, what was going on there, because the school board, the superintendents at the time insisted this was the same as a high school education. And we know they weren't there, same amount as high school. They didn't have a lot of the you know, the classes or the opportunities beyond the basics. And it turns out there's more. As ACE Learning Centers, they're technically a private school in Missouri. St. Louis Public Schools require 24 credits to graduate. ACE requires 18. So the school district could pick kids out, 17, 18-year-old, who doesn't have all their credits, is having trouble in English and math, send them to ACE. ACE does some remedial work and says, oh, yeah, all right, you came to us with 17 credits. You've got done this remedial work in English. You got another credit. You have 18 credits now. You can graduate. And they would get a diploma from St. Louis Public Schools.
Huh?
If ACE said they were ready to graduate, they got a St. Louis Public School diploma. And this is one of the reasons Williams says they lost their contract. ACE says it's one of the reasons they should have a contract.
And
these kids don't need as many credits to graduate from ACE as they do from regular public high school.
So I'm my head's kind of reeling right now, Peter. So tell me why this special interest group got a special sit-down, hear-out meeting with Darnetta Klingstad. I mean, Darnetta Shamo, why did they get a hearing? They gave a worthless piece of paper to 18-year-olds and said that they had a high school diploma when they didn't.
That's right.
And now they wanted a charter school, and Darnetta Klingstad, Darnetta Shamel said, let's hear them out? What don't you know about them that you need to know?
See, and as this is one of the things in their presentation, they said, now, as a charter school, under state law, we have to go by the district's rules. So students who come to the charter school will need 24 credit hours to graduate. So this is why it's better for you to give us a contract. Because if you just give us a contract, we'll still be a private school, and we can graduate them with 18 hours.
And what did Darnetta Klingstad say?
There was very little discussion, because they had...
Did she raise a question about that extraordinary bait-and-switch theory plan that in the light of God and everybody that ACE was offering up? Okay, we're going to steal, and this is how we're going to do it. Did she question that?
No. She had one question, and that's because ACE says they do not give D's and F's as grades. They only give A, B's, and C's. And she asked them how they could do that. And they responded that it's this computer program. You keep working at it until you can get a C, you know, before you move on to the next lesson. There were a few questions.
Was Williams there?
Pardon me?
Was a $300,000 guy Williams, was he there?
Williams was there.
Did he ask any questions?
No, because there was a staff recommendation to deny the application. And Archibald did ask Williams what the staff recommendation was. And Williams explained that the staff had recommended to him pulling the contract shortly after he got here. And so it was pulled in June, and the staff now recommends that they not sponsor the charter school. This group, ACE Learning Centers, was seeking a 10-year, they wanted the board to approve essentially amount to a 10-year charter school contract. They wanted the board to agree right now to sponsor the school for 10 years.
Well, like I said, the money was good. They're hooked on it. They are hooked on it, and they want their supply to be there for 10 years.
Yes.
They want. And did Darnetta Darnetta Shamel, did she say absolutely not, or did she say, we'll review this later?
No, the motion was to accept the superintendent's recommendation, the staff recommendation.
Uh-huh.
And the superintendent talked about how the district is evaluating alternative programs and seeking to rebuild its own alternative education programs.
So with regard to the whole charter discussion, because that's what this was a charter school discussion that Darnetta Shamel said that she was holding this special meeting for a special interest group to have this charter school discussion. What did Darnetta say about the charter school issue? Is it off the table? And I guess my question is ACE really out of the woods or out of the game?
It is not the in the recommendation from Williams was give us a year and come back to us with this proposal in a year. So we've seen, make the improvements we've suggested to you and see where we're at in a year.
out
of the woods. There's another way they aren't out of the woods.
Okay.
All right. Because like I said, this whole thing was clearly done to try and leverage a contract, which still might happen. Right. And this puts the board on notice from ACE. They're saying, they came to the board first with the charter school proposal. I think really just to give them notice that we have a charter school proposal and we can go out and find another sponsor, such as Mayor Francis Slay. Another one, because the LawPad, the legislature last year passed a bill that allows the mayor of St. Louis to sponsor charter schools. They also extended the number of colleges. Private colleges can sponsor charter schools now. So Lindenwood University just agreed to sponsor the Ethel Hedgman Lyle Academy. They had lost their sponsor, and Lindenwood said, we'll do it. So I think that's the real message being sent to the board here. And
this is all after elections, too.
Yes.
This
stuff will come out after the election in April.
So they didn't say no. They didn't say, no, don't come back anymore. We're done with you. They left the door open for ACE to come back.
Yes. Left it open for them to come back in one of two ways. Because they said, we're working on figuring out what we're going to do with alternative programs. And so the possibility is that, hey, there will be another contract for ACE. And the door's open. Also come back to us later with a proposal again for charter school.
Okay, so the district didn't spend money yet, didn't throw money down the toilet again with this special interest group, but they have found another way to spend some of our money. Talk to us about this dude that's been hired to, I don't know, be the commandant or something. What's the deal?
Commandant might be a good word here. Guy's name is Clive Coleman, and he was... He was hired to oversee all the high schools in the district.
To oversee the high schools. Okay. What does that entail?
I don't really know. And I think it varies under different superintendents. You may recall, or our listeners may recall, that Floyd Cruz was the director of high schools for a while in St. Louis. We had an assistant superintendent for high schools, and Steve Wormack, last year. They've changed titles, and I'm not even sure what the current title is. But it's the person who's is between high school principals and the superintendent. So high school principals report directly to this person instead of directly to the superintendent.
So what has he done when in starting his gig up? Because he's not from St. Louis. He's from Louisiana, right?
Yeah, my information is he's from New Orleans.
Right.
And does not have a reputation as a high-performing district either.
Absolutely. So they hired somebody from not – but also there's the Roberti connection there too.
Yes.
There's the Roberti connection. So odds are that Roberti's sending us another failed person to do with this. What's one of the first and I guess we can judge by his actions, he certainly rolls like Roberti does. Tell us what he's been doing in the high schools.
This guy likes office space. He needs his condo space in every building.
What are you talking about?
He has instructed every high school to set aside an office for him so that he has an office.
Well, how big is he?
A private office in every one of the 12 high schools, in addition to his private office downtown.
Our schools are strapped for space, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Teachers don't have offices. We have support personnel who don't have offices. We've had parent groups, student groups, kicked out of their offices in recent years, saying there wasn't space for them. In order to accommodate Mr. Coleman at Roosevelt, they had to kick a counselor out of an office.
What does
at
he need?
Told Ann they had to take the office away from the curriculum coordinator.
That's the person that makes sure that the babies have enough credits to graduate, right?
The counselor is, yes.
Unbelievable. And what does he need all this space for? How big is he?
I don't know how big he is. I haven't seen him. What he has told he's just told the schools he needs the office space. He needs someplace private in every school. He has private records he's going to be keeping in every school.
Well, why doesn't he have a file cabinet in every room, every school?
One would think so.
With a key. I mean, I don't know what he's keeping in his file cabinets anyway that is so secretive.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. A counselor has lost office space because some clown wants to come in and have a room of his own in every high school in the city of St. Louis. Is he going to be? Obviously, he is, unless he's part of this whole Harry Potter thing where they can be in one place in several places at one time. He can't be in 12 places at one time. How often is he supposed to come to the schools?
What he told them is he'd be coming once every other week, which you're about right. Be close to that. If he visits every school one day and goes on next school, it takes him 12 days to go through. A little more than 2 weeks to make a circuit.
Unbelievable. We have to take a break. I'm talking to Peter Downs. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. This is Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. We will be back. Stay with us.
Let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? I remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too.
Morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270. There's an accident cleared, about a half mile jam approaching that area. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and 141. Look for an accident. Left lane is blocked. Westbound 44 from Washington to 50. Look for road construction going on in that area. Use caution. Northbound 270 between Graboid and 44. Slow traffic eastbound 70 at 370 in Cape Springs. Slow traffic in pockets through Sunshine. Westbound 270 from King Rocks Bridge all the way to West Florissant. Look for no problems or report. Westbound 44 at Allington Six Flags and Pacific Viaduct. Right lane closed as they're removing boulders from the bluffs. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 from Exchange onto the PSB is stop-and-go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. Everything's on the move. Westbound 64 at Powell Avenue and 5570. Look for slow traffic there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, winterize your car at any St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer. Radiator drain and fill, visual inspection, and battery check, all for just $39.95. That's Toyota Value. See dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Today, mostly sunny, high around 45. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 25. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 50. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 35. And Friday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 30. Wind chills outside make it feel like it's 21. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Radio is a very effective means of communication. Right now, thousands of people are hearing this message. Those same people could be hearing your message on WGNU right now. And each person who hears your ad is a potential customer. Is your business really strong enough that it can afford to pass up that many potential clients? To find out how affordable advertising on WGNU can help your business, call sales manager Brian Kay during regular business hours at 314-454-6660. We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Talk radio that discusses what matters most to you. It's coming to AM 920, Monday, January 30th.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Sports fans, NFL Hall of Famer Lynn Swann wants to be the next governor of Pennsylvania. A black man running as a Republican. Maybe he wants to be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger, too. He says he's the only candidate that cares about the needs of the people. If his best qualification is he can get more money than his challenger, then he might very well make it. We'll take a look at this peculiar turn of events with hard-hitting reporter Dave Zirin from edgeofsports.com. Wednesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontra Buzzy calling you from McLean School, Zachy Gray, room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Ruth. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurate. And Ruth was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dontra Buzzy from 209 for Dignity. Reign supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Ooh, I love those babies. This is Liz Brown. I'm back with Peter Downs. Peter, welcome back. Let me get to a caller or two.
All right.
Sarah, you have a question for Peter.
Oh, hi. Good morning, Liz. Hi, Peter.
Morning.
Well, not exactly a question, but just a comment about the ACE program. Because my daughter went to Jennings High School 2 years ago, and she didn't have enough credits to graduate. Now, she wasn't a behavior problem, but she didn't have enough credits to graduate, so they offered the ACE program to her. I let her make the decision to go to ACE. She was telling me, well, I really want to graduate with my class. And so she did that. I allowed her to do that. And the way the program worked is explained exactly the way Peter said. But she went to ACE for 3 hours, and then they were supposed to either they could find a job or they can do something else to make up those other 3 hours. And what my daughter did was she worked at Head Start. It was right down the street from in River Road. So she did that for 3 hours. She worked as a teacher's assistant. And so when it came time for them to graduate, she was able to walk with the class, but the diploma did not say Jennings High School. It said ACE, Learning Center. And you were absolutely correct. She only had about 18 and a half credits when she graduated. And I don't know how I felt about that. It seems as though that was against the law because I thought that you needed 22 credits to graduate from high school. And so that's just what my comment was. She really didn't feel good about the way the diploma looked because it didn't have Jennings High School on it.
Thanks for your observation, Sarah.
Okay, thank you.
And Peter, that poses a problem, doesn't it? I mean, can she go to a college and actually say that she graduated from an accredited high school?
Excuse me. It is accredited by an association that accredits private schools. I think colleges, they know the difference.
So taking this piece of paper to the college, they would know you didn't have enough credits.
Yes. Yeah, they know the difference between an ACE diploma and a public high school diploma from anywhere in Missouri. State law before this year required 22 credits. St. Louis had a tough requirement. St. Louis required 24. State law now requires 24. And colleges, they have information on all these different credit requirements. They know they know a school like ACE is, and they know the lower requirements.
And here's the thing. This parent didn't know, and it's the obligation of an entity like ACE to tell a parent that what this means. And ACE is no more going to tell a parent or a student what this means, because who would come to their facility knowing that they're getting basically a second-tier piece of paper?
Right, right. And you know, even in terms of trying to graduate on time with your class, one of the school board members noted last night is that St. Louis, already within its high schools, has credit recovery programs, they call them, to help students pick up the credits they lack so they can graduate on time. Roosevelt, Vachon, some of these schools have some night classes. Kids are missing a couple credits that they can pick up to graduate with their class. St. Louis public schools already have the GED option within the schools, which is what ACE really is offering. It's a GED option.
Mm. Let me get to another caller question. Gigi, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I kind of maybe missed the answer. How can they not comply to the state's requirements? That was my question.
Oh, well, it's because they're a private school.
Oh, because they are a private school, so
yeah.
That does hurt that individual's chances when they, if they choose to attend a four-year university.
Yes.
Because a lot of the requirements will not be there. The 4 years math, the 3 years English, or in some cases, some schools require 4 years, and then the electives and foreign languages. Disservice. So I would suggest to that parent that she encourage her daughter to take some night classes and to... Yeah, it's kind of start over and to obtain, you know, a regular high school diploma. Thank you.
Now people have to play makeup.
Yeah.
Have to play makeup. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. What else do we have, Peter? And we'll get to some of our callers in just a minute. But what else did you want to cover today?
Oh, last week at the school board meeting, during the public comment section, the president of the Vachon Alumni Association, Cozy Marks, had asked, why these changes at Vachon now? And he was asking, why was Vachon picked instead of another school? And I think what his fear was is seen in some national publications now. There's a national education publication called Education Week, which has an article about these changes at Vachon, and the article is headlined, St. Louis Breaks Up Its Worst High School.
And I bet you part of the I would bet you everything that I own that part of the hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, that this school district is spending on public relations, they crafted together this article and they pitched it. And it was accepted because it's about violence.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure you're right.
And this is the message that Craig Williams wants to go out to the world about, a school district that he has no qualification. I'm sure they don't mention anywhere in the article that Craig Williams has never been a superintendent any place in the world. I'm sure they don't mention the things in the article that Cozy Marks mentioned about the fact that it's had a different principal every year since it's opened 4 years ago. It's been overcrowded, 50% more students than it was built to hold, and we have principals that have been taking hundreds of thousands of dollars and disappearing with the money being disappearing, and we've had coaches being the principal of this school.
Yeah, this school really has never been given a chance to succeed. But even so, one of the things I want to point out is last Thursday at the parent assembly meeting, they had the people who run the district's in-school suspension program to make a presentation. And one question was, how were schools picked to have in-school suspension? Because Vashon did not have in-school suspension.
Out of all the stuff Vashon was going through, they never had an in-school suspension program?
They did not. 8 high schools got in-school suspension, and Vashon was not one of them.
Mm.
And the question was, well, how were these schools picked? And the answer was, the schools they were picked based upon need. They were picked based upon the number of discipline incidents they have.
Hello.
So what they're telling us is, you know, Craig Williams wants to talk about, well, the number of discipline incidents at Vashon, but then what his own people are saying is, yeah, we had 8 high schools with worse records. You know, which raised a question that I think was implicit in Cozy Marsh's question. Again, you know, why Vashon? Is it because this is where the need really is, or is it because this is where the TV cameras are?
Exactly. And we have to take a break. I'm talking to Peter Downs. I'm Liz Brown. This is a St. Louis Public Schools Watch, the weekly show that we focus on education in the city of St. Louis. I will be back after this.
This is Kaylin Dixon. Call you from the Clee School, second grade room, 209. I'm calling you to thank you for coming to our school and spending time with our class. School is almost out. This summer, I'm going to spend the summer with my family. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the pretty African necklace you gave me. I just love it. Yesterday, I received an achievement trophy at our Awards Day program. Have a wonderful summer. This is Caitlin Dixon for Room 209. Where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
Dogs say goodnight.
Wake Up Call Mobile News Update is brought to you this hour by
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry.
This is your Wake Up Call Mobile News Update. Dateline Moscow. Russia seems to be having trouble getting along with its neighbors. Last month it had a flap with Ukraine over natural gas. Now comes word that 2 explosions in southern Russia have knocked out deliveries of natural gas and electricity to Georgia, just as some of the coldest temperatures of the winter have set in. Georgia does not have an efficient electrical grid and relies on natural gas to heat homes and run businesses. The president of Georgia says he thinks Russia is behind the demolition, and it's part of a tactic to punish Georgia because it has taken a pro-Western stance. Mikhail Saakashvili has charged that the gas pipeline explosion took place in an area that was heavily guarded by Russian security and was under strict Russian control. He said it's also rather curious that the blasts only disrupted the natural gas supplies to his country. He further said that Russia would like to obtain complete control of the pipeline network that runs through Georgia and onto Armenia. The Russian Foreign Ministry calls that statement nonsense and says they're working to restore the gas and electricity as quickly as they can. The pipeline and electrical transmission explosions took place about 200 miles apart from each other. And Dateline Washington.
The middle of February is going to be a turning point for the United States. The limit on the national debt that was set by Congress is expected to be reached around then. The figure is $8.1 trillion. When that happens, the government will be unable to continue its normal operations. The U.S. has little borrowing power overseas, and countries like China that have bought up American securities have already started to dispose of U.S. Treasury securities because they compose too much of their portfolio reserves. This means they're not likely to do a spot purchase to prop up the U.S. financial situation. Now, there's also word that a number of the major U.S. banks have been going over with their employees how they should respond to demands from customers if a major problem with the U.S. economy develops. Reports indicate that Homeland Security will have the authority to decide what assets customers can remove from their banks and their accounts. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you by
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871.
Seven Signs. There's nothing like a lively conversation among friends, but sometimes the discussion can get a little too lively. Name-calling is not allowed, nor is verbal sniping at other callers or hosts. Remember, you can disagree without being disagreeable. Just a reminder from your friends at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Change everything you know about AM 920. It's coming to WGNU Monday, January 30th.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Sports fans, NFL Hall of Famer Lynn Swann wants to be the next governor of Pennsylvania. A black man running as a Republican. Maybe he wants to be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger, too. He says he's the only candidate that cares about the needs of the people. If his best qualification is he can get more money than his challenger, then he might very well make it. We'll take a look at this peculiar turn of events with hard-hitting reporter Dave Zirin from edgeofsports.com. Wednesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
He's back.
By popular demand and because it's so right on time, we're putting President Bush back on the couch. Yes, Dr. Justin Frank returns to the next edition of Mondays at 9 for another analysis of the chief executive. Is the domestic spying issue indicative of a controlling personality? Does the president completely depend on Dick Cheney, or is he merely a puppet deciding who pulls the strings? So many more issues have cropped up that we decided another session was in order. Don't miss Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, our special guest on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
What
you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is, good morning, Miss Liz. This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCrease. Second grade from 209. Miss Liz, I had a good time with you. Miss Liz, our class is watching Roots. Kunta Kinte knows his roots. His mother's name is Tita, and his father's name is Amaru. Tita has dignity. Have a good summer. This is Amir Muhammad from Room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Let me get to another caller here. Yes, you have a question for Peter Downs or a comment.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about the hiring fair last Saturday. Was it a success? Were certified people there or whatever? Can he comment?
Great question. Do you know anything about that, Peter?
I don't know much about it. I think there were a couple hundred people who showed up. I have no idea, you know, what the quality of the applications were or whether they got what they were looking for. They have, in a way, it's an admission of their poor accounting, the school district's poor accounting during the year. We keep hearing from them every year that, oh, we've eliminated subs. You know, because they're cutting back on teachers, making classes more crowded, they think teachers are going to stay, and they can eliminate subs, but teachers leave every year, and that they've been consistently a couple hundred teachers short every year. And one of the things they point to with their current budget shortfall is that they're spending millions of dollars more on substitutes than they had budgeted for, because they somehow assumed that they weren't going to need subs this year.
Kind of like we would be greeted as liberators.
Yeah. Yes.
Same type of faulty reasoning. Also, getting back to Vashon, okay, we've moved the ninth graders out of Vashon. We have classroom, the size of the classroom, or the size of the students, the numbers of the students in the schools has been reduced to the numbers where the school was built to accommodate.
Yes.
Are they using the extra classrooms to reduce the size of the classrooms?
But not that I've heard, no. And that's, I think that's real key. And people are looking to see, is this just a shell game,
mm-hmm.
you know, with students as the peas, or are you actually putting more resources into the school? If you have a bunch of empty classrooms sitting there next to overcrowded classrooms, the kids in the overcrowded classrooms don't benefit from that extra room.
Mm.
You know, if instead you are breaking up the overcrowded classes, you're using the extra space available now, you have more teachers, counselors have more manageable workload, so on and so forth, then it's an advantage to the kids. But there's no real sign that that's happening, either at Vashon or at Williams. What I've heard are complaints, again, that they haven't really been given the number of teachers necessary at Williams. One of the things that Craig Williams mentioned, I don't know if he picked Williams School because that's his own last name or what, but one of the things that he mentioned at the school board meeting last week about the number of seniors who were missing credits to graduate, and with many of them, they were missing credits from ninth grade. And that's because, and something we've talked about before, Post-Dispatch has poo-pooed it, but you hear parents all over the district talk about it. There's no counseling going on until 12th grade.
That's right. So there's nobody tracking, nobody's following, nobody's counting, nobody's making certain that these babies have what they need in order to graduate.
That's right. That's right. You need counseling in ninth. To come into high school, ninth grade, that's when you really need the most counseling.
Mm. But except at the magnet schools, because I know at Metro, the counseling that kids received from McKinley, they were counting the credits when they walked in the door at Metro.
And Metro is unique in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, you know, Vashon, Beaumont, Sumner, but even, you know, Gateway, Central, which are magnet schools, you don't get the counseling in ninth grade.
And
at all of them, there's a history of kids coming up, and they don't have the credits, and it's because they didn't know it.
Mm-hmm. And I have one quick question for you. We had a caller in the last hour who wanted to know if you knew anything about that he had received a letter saying that the length of that children will be walking to school now without having to get a bus is 2 miles. It's gone from 1 mile to 2 miles. Have you heard this?
No, I haven't heard that. That's worth looking into.
Yeah, and I'd asked him to fax us that information. He said that he received a letter.
My understanding is that was state law that set the
the requirement for start busing after 1 mile.
So give us some heads up, Peter. What should we be looking for in the weeks to come?
Well, in the weeks to come, I'm not really sure. There are no meetings that I'm aware of. In a little over a week, we're going to start running into the forums for the school board election.
Okay, very good.
Black Leadership Roundtable has a forum on February 8th at Harris-Stowe State College.
Very good.
I'm sorry, Harris-Stowe State University.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Peter. Wait a minute. Let me get to one more caller here. Sheila. Sheila?
Yes.
You have a quick question, please.
Well, I had a comment to make about the counselors. I had to take my daughter out of Gateway. She was in the ninth grade. The counselors there, the counselor that she had, didn't give her any kind of information. In fact, when I went over there, the counselor was busy in conversation with the school nurse. So right now, I've taken my daughter out of there. She attends another school, and she is a student now. She's in a private school. Mm. And they give her all the information that she needs, and she has her credits to go to college.
All right. Thanks for your call, Peter. We'll talk next week.
We'll talk next week.
Take care.
Bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back to talk to David Zirin, journalist for Edge of Sports. We're going to be talking about Lynn Swan and his desire to be the black governor, and a Republican. We'll be back to talk about that. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Alvear. A rally by the Palestinian Fatah party outside a polling station in East Jerusalem today. Voting is underway in the first legislative election in almost a decade for the Palestinian people. And so far, there are no problems, no major problems at least. Former President Jimmy Carter is observing the vote.
We visited three voting sites, post offices, as you know, and things seem to be orderly. The voters are well instructed, and they have their credentials, and there's been no holdup.
The choice is candidates for the ruling Fatah party or Hamas. Israel says it will not work with Hamas. The Senate begins debate today on Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito. A filibuster is not likely, but many Democrats say they plan to vote no. More from ABC's Sonia Crawford.
Senate Republicans have enough votes to confirm Judge Alito, but they need 60 votes to cut off debate. Only one Democrat, Nebraska Senator Ben Nelson, has said he'll support the nominee. Republicans and pro-Alito interest groups are trying to get more Democrats on board.
It could end up being the closest vote since the one that put Clarence Thomas on the court. It's where President Bush's controversial domestic surveillance program is carried out, and today the commander-in-chief pays a visit.
The secretive National Security Agency is so far away from downtown Washington that President Bush will helicopter to the campus to speak with employees who eavesdrop on global communications, then analyze the results. News cameras will be allowed in at the end of the president's tour.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. A Maryland man is due in court today. He's under arrest in connection with yesterday's shooting at a daycare center in Germantown. Police say the man is a convicted felon who somehow had a gun. They say his 8-year-old son got a hold of the weapon, took it to the center, and then shot a 7-year-old girl in the arm. Her wound was not life-threatening. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services Member, NASD and SIPC.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-500-2001. That's 1-800-500-2001. 1-800-500-2001.
Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus.
It's Pope Benedict XVI's first encyclical. The written statement is a keynote of his papacy. He says he can't live by, or man should not live by, spiritual love alone, that physical love is a healthy part of life, but The Pope warns that it all too often becomes something that can be bought or sold. You can Google just about anything here in the U.S., but in China soon that won't be the case. Here's Gil Gross.
Though Google is being hailed by its customers in the States for standing up to the Justice Department's demand for a record of their searches, it has given in to China's demand for censorship. Google's Chinese search engine for the communist country will filter out requests for information on Taiwan or the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre. The company, whose motto is "Don't be evil," says it's a worthwhile sacrifice because it opens up more information than it shuts down. But Reporters Without Borders calls the Google decision a real shame. Gil Gross, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
For a WGNU News Update, this report is brought to you by McDonald's. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. A local nursing home is trying to raise awareness about the AIDS epidemic in Africa. The Maryville University chapter of Sigma Theta Tau International is asking the public to make a donation to the Adopt a Girl program, which is an initiative to help the daughters of nurses in Africa who have died from AIDS. Chapter Vice President Dr. Letchen Wider says it's important to respond to this cause.
They're children, and we should do for others less fortunate than those of us in America. These children are living in abject poverty, and their best hope for a better life is for America to open their hearts and their pocketbooks.
Call Maryville University at 314-529-9219 for more information or to make a donation. The AIDS crisis in Africa was the focus of last night's nursing symposium at Maryville University. Elsewhere, State Auditor and U.S. Senate candidate Claire McCaskill is supporting a ballot initiative that would guarantee the ability to conduct stem cell research in the state. The initiative's backers say it could provide doctors and scientists the opportunity to work on cures for Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and diabetes. McCaskill says stem cell research does not destroy life, as opponents claim.
These are eggs that are sitting in freezer compartments that are being destroyed on a daily basis now. If it's okay to throw these cells away, how can it not be okay to do research on these cells to save lives?
McCaskill says she believes that a human life occurs after it is in the womb. She says Senator Jim Talent, whose Senate seat she hopes to win, supports legislation that would criminalize doctors, donors, and patients of stem cell research. And finally, a decision is expected this week on whether Judge Samuel Alito will be confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Roger Goldman, a law professor at the St. Louis University School of Law, explains what happens now that the Senate Judiciary Committee has approved Alito.
The 100 senators will vote on deciding whether or not to confirm him. He needs a majority vote, but there may well be a filibuster, and that's the big unknown if the Democrats will try to filibuster his nomination.
The Senate Judiciary Committee voted 10-8 yesterday to approve the recommendation of Alito to replace Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. That's WGNU News, brought to you by McDonald's. Enjoy a little daylight savings at McDonald's. Stop in for one of three delicious breakfast extra value meals, like an Egg McMuffin, hash browns, and small coffee, all for under $3. McDonald's, I'm loving it. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and 141. Look for an accident that's cleared to the shoulder, but traffic still jams approaching Clarkson. Southbound 270 at Ladue. Look for an accident on the right shoulder. Traffic is backed up north of Dorset. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for a medical emergency. There's a sick case in a vehicle. Traffic to the slow pockets from there all the way to Bryan Road. Northbound 270 from Dorset and 70. Look for an accident. Two right lanes are blocked. In westbound 40 between Washington and 50, look for road construction, left lanes blocked there. Eastbound 40 between Meraz Overpass and Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Eastbound 70 from 370 to the Blanchette Bridge, no problems to report there. Northbound 270 from Gravoid to 44, stop and go. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry all the way into West Florissant, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 44 from Allington to Pacific Viaduct, looking forward to right lane to be closed as they're clearing boulders from off the bluffs. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Lindbergh, heavy volume. Westbound 40 from Clayton Skinker to Hanley, slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from Exchange onto the PSB, look for stop and go traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Gravel Pit and Laclede's Landing, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound Route 3 from Monsanto onto the PSB, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge, look for slow traffic there as well. Gravoy at Hampton, traffic lights are not working. McCaw's on the southwest, they're not working. Newhall's Ferry at Pershall, they're not working. And there's a report of an accident at Route 30 at Dolores Drive and Dunn Road at Taylor. There's also a report of an injury accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, winterize your vehicle at your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer. Radiator drain and fill, visual inspection, and battery check all for just $39.95. That's Toyota Value. See dealer for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly sunny, high around 45. This evening, clear with a low around 25. Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high around 50. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 35. And then on Friday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 50. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 30, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Help me, brothers. Help me, sisters. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. And as always, If you want to email me, that's revolution at lizbrown.com, lizzbrown.com. And any questions that you have, if you want a little bit more information about some of the shows that we do here on the Wake Up Call, check out the website at lizbrown.com. And if you've missed a show, shame on you. But go pick it up at whiterosesociety.org, where they archive our shows daily. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Whew. It seems like every time you turn around and where we are at this time in the world, every time we turn around, there is something out there that causes us to have to put up our dukes and prepare to engage in some kind of battle. I was cruising along, surfing the net, and I ran across an article, and say it ain't so. Lynn Swan is going to run to be the governor of the state of Pennsylvania as a Republican? What the? And I watched some of his speeches, and I read some of his stuff, and it was almost like, you know, when I watched him, it was kind of what's the word I'm looking for, Stepford-ish. I mean, it was Stepford-ish, and I think that it wasn't. There isn't a place out there where they're trying to crank out these perfect white bread wives. It's not Stepford wives. It's Stepford black candidates. That's what I think that they're manufacturing out there. These people that they bring before the public and say all of these things that are completely contrary to what you are. We need to talk about this. I have a journalist for edgeofsports.com and columnist for Slam and the Nation, David Zirin, joining us from Washington, D.C. Dave, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Oh, doing wonderfully. Thank you.
Yeah, so how bad is this?
Well, how bad is this? That's an interesting question. A recent poll had Mr. Lynn Swan running neck and neck with the incumbent, Ed Rendell.
A Democrat,
uh-huh. Yes, in a state that's seen as, you know, pretty solidly Democratic. You know, Pennsylvania is one of those states like Washington State where you have, you know, one side that's hardcore Republican, one side that's hardcore Democrat, and you might as well have a secession issue on the next ballot. Things are so divided there. But Lynn Swan, you know, obviously he's got tremendous cachet in the state of Pennsylvania as a Hall of Fame football player, hero with the Steelers, and the four Super Bowl rings. And he's also got a lot of cachet just on the basis of the fact that he's been a television announcer for so long. Like you mentioned, the Stepford quality, which I think is very apt. I mean, the guy is all just, you know, capped teeth, big smiles, and you know, good laugh lines. And so there's a degree to which the media is giving him quite the free ride there and actually not looking at the content of what he's arguing.
Can you set it up for us, Dave? How does it work out there in Pennsylvania? Isn't there a Republican primary?
There is a primary. It's going before the primary, there's something going on right now that's called the endorsement process, where a very small group of Republican power brokers get together and actually endorse one of the candidates. And what that usually does is it catapults the person ahead of everybody else in the pack. And that's going on as we speak, and it really does look like Lynn Swan has it sewn up. In fact, he felt like he had it so sewn up, he turned down the opportunity to debate the other two Republicans in the primaries, including one guy named William Scranton, who's the son of a former governor, and, you know, there's Scranton, Pennsylvania. That's like his family, for goodness sakes.
Brock, 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 Brock. I mean, is this chickenish? Is this, you know, why didn't he do it?
Let me tell you why. Okay. Because Lynn Swan is operating from the playbook of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I think you can't understand Lynn Swann's candidacy without understanding the Schwarzenegger victory in California. And with that has California, traditionally Democratic state. It's got Republican operatives around the country looking for what they're calling Hail Mary candidates. Like this idea of you find people who are big on celebrity, big on, you know, giving sound bites and very little on content. And you mentioned the Stepford quality. I mean, anybody who meets Schwarzenegger, the first quality they usually say after meeting him is, he looked like one of those wax statues at Madame Tussauds Museum.
Mm.
You know, there's this part of him that doesn't quite look like a real three-dimensional person. And so it's this idea of you put forward celebrity at the expense of policy.
And what's fascinating about that, Dave, is this is being done by a party that sneers at every turn at celebrity, that blames celebrity and Hollywood for everything.
No, that's an interesting point. But at the same time, it's like they understand, you know, they're very good at speaking out of one side of their mouth and
yes.
doing another. Like, they're very good at saying, we're the party that will keep you safe. Oh, just ignore what just happened in the Gulf, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that sleight of hand is straight from the book of Rove.
So, and Karl Rove has had everything to do with Arnold Schwarzenegger as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the man he's the person who's setting the agenda for what the Republicans are doing nationally. And this is, people should expect more of this. I mean, what it's about is you get Hail Mary candidates in the states that they view as blue, and they get people from the caveman wing of the Republican Party for the states they view as red.
Mm.
And this is what we're operating with in this country right now. And it would be easier, I have to say, that if we had an opposition party to them that was willing to stand up to it and call it out for what it is.
And that's really the missing element here. We have another party, but it is certainly not an opposition in any way that you stretch the imagination.
Not a fighting party. And I think you may see the results of that in a place like Pennsylvania, because one of Lynn Swann's big points that he's trying to get across is the Democratic Party takes the black vote for granted.
And
you know, vote for me because they're not going to do anything for you, because, you know, Ed Rendell got 96% of the black vote last time out, so he knows he has you in his pocket and he can ignore you. And even though Lynn Swann promotes policies that are deeply detrimental to particularly working-class black families, you know, things like charter schools, tax cuts for the rich, things like that, that connects with people. Because people feel like, yeah, what has Ed Rendell done for us?
And I guess the next level of discussion on that point should come from a Democratic Party that said, well, okay, let's explore that. Let's explore what the Republican Party, who have the House, who have the
mm-hmm.
Senate, who have the White House, what have they done for people of African descent?
Yeah, I mean, they should actually be confronting that head on. It's like, okay, let's actually talk about, let's look at a typical African-American family in the state of Pennsylvania. Let's look at what your policies concretely will do to their lives, and let's let them decide, you know, who will benefit more.
And I guess, and if you were really a person that were concerned about the issues of people of African descent, the only honest discussion that you could have about being taken for granted in politics is, look, both parties take us for granted.
Yes.
We need to step up out of this and be the margin of victory on either side.
Absolutely.
And divorce these people and say, I'm just dating.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. But that's Lynn Swann is attempting to do quite a sleight of hand. And it's actually quite creepy. People should go to his website, read what he actually stands for.
I am telling you, it is a creepy is a good word, because when you read the words that he says, I won't make promises. I will offer you the kind of leadership that builds bridges. To where? To what? Huh?
Right. Exactly. You know, I want to make sure that you get to the money that you earn, you get to take home at the end of the day. Like, what does that mean? I'm not sure.
And you made the connection between Arnold and Lynn. There's also almost a following in the footsteps of Arnold, because Lynn has the position that Arnold had with in the White House.
No, that's correct. It's the head of the President's Council on Physical Fitness. I mean, that's what Schwarzenegger used under Bush 1. I mean, and, you know, there's really no secret about the fact that the entire Bush family, you know, they come from a long line. You know, Bush Sr. was, of course, an All-American baseball player at Yale. Bush Jr. was a cheerleader at Yale. I mean, these guys are three-generation jock sniffers. And they, you know, Bush Jr., of course, was also the senior general managing partner owner of the Texas Rangers in the early 90s when they basically ran a crack house of steroids under Jose Canseco, Rafael Palmeiro, and the like. And there's no question that they're just utterly transfixed by, you know, by big muscles, by jockdom, and they want to cultivate a jock wing of the Republican Party.
And it's been said that George W. Bush, when he goes to bed at 8 o'clock at night every night, what he watches when he goes to bed, and no offense, Dave, but it's just E-SPAN. you know, I mean, it's nothing but sports.
Look, I take zero offense. I'm a big belief that sports is something that you watch as a way to forget about the troubles of life, not to avoid the troubles of life.
So when we...
Actually, you're the president.
Yeah, and I know. You're the president. You should be reading a paper. You should be reading a book. You should be planning something. So when we talk about Lynn Swann and his role as a football player, what kind of football player was he? Was he connected to the other, any kind of black issues since now he's coming out as a black man? Was he a black football player?
That's a tremendously important question, and actually maybe even a deeper question than a lot of your listeners may even realize, because Lynn Swann was a football player at the time when there was still a lot of the vestiges of what something Jim Brown started called the Black Economic Union. And it was a way for football players at that time who were influenced by the politics of black nationalism, particularly the left-wing black nationalism of the 1960s, to actually use their money to help black-owned businesses and to get these businesses off the ground in different cities around the United States. So what you're talking about is not like we're saying, was Lynn Swann a trailblazer when he was a football player, but did he actually get involved with pre-existing organizations that were actively working to help the black community? And the answer to that is no. The answer to that is absolutely not. I mean, he made his choice as insofar as the kind of football player that he wanted to be, and that was someone who, frankly, just set the stage for him to have a plush announcing career when he was done. I mean, he is coming at this with zero experience. That's what I mean by, like, the playbook of Arnold Schwarzenegger here. It's like, I'm sorry, but the President's Council on Physical Fitness to run what I believe is the fourth largest state in the United States. I mean, this is pretty outrageous.
But Arnold Schwarzenegger, in all fairness to Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was a sexist, and he stayed a sexist, and he advocated sexism. You know, I mean, he lived his life. He's no different in his policies and practices that he lived. Lynn Swann is now coming out as a black man.
Yeah.
And he didn't live in any way, and he didn't practice in any way as a person of African descent when he had an opportunity to do so in an industry that demanded it.
Yes, and you know, actually, once again, I ask people to go to the website to look for yourself to back up some of what we're arguing here. But like, you look at how Lynn Swann talks about issues of race, you know, you get beyond the issue of him saying the Democratic Party takes us for granted, which is, you know, this kind of very incendiary, polarizing thing to say. After that, it's, I don't want to talk about race. I don't believe in affirmative action. I don't believe in like race-based contracts or any sort of quota system that could actually make up for regresses. And I certainly, you better believe he's not talking about anything with regards to police accountability, which is a huge issue in big cities like Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, where police brutality is really a generational issue.
And it's my understanding, Dave, that sometimes people don't talk about things because they feel like, well, I haven't had any life experience in that. I can't comment on that. Lynn Swann was brutalized by the police.
Yeah.
And so he has the life experience of being there, and yet he is not going to ever address this issue, which makes it even more foul.
Yeah, and you know what it reminds me of in its way? I can't help but think about this. There was this really creepy moment after Hurricane Katrina hit. And you might remember Condoleezza Rice receiving a tremendous amount of flack because she was in New York buying $1,000 shoes. Going to a Broadway show.
Having a good time.
And not caring at all, really. Yeah. And she got all this criticism from it, particularly because, you know, her family has roots in that part of the country. And she came out to make a strong speech, and she said, look, as a Southern American, my heart is with the people in the Gulf. And I was thinking to myself, my God, I have never heard a person of African descent in my entire life use the phrase
Southern.
A Southern American.
That's creepy.
You know
that
what I'm saying?
It's that like, is creepy.
It's like you're identifying with Southern patriotism?
The Confederate flag?
That's outrageous. As a Southern American. I mean, you just roll that around your head a couple times.
That's astonishing. That is really, really astonishing. And that's kind of the Lynn Swann approach, to attempt to remove himself from his culture and,
exactly.
and his heritage.
Exactly. And then, so, I mean, that's what I think the people in Pennsylvania need to ask themselves is, well, what does it mean then to just say the Democratic Party takes black people for granted? It's like people, I mean, I'm certainly not endorsing or saying people should throw their vote to Ed Randell by any stretch. I think votes are too precious to give away. People should vote for what they want, not out of fear for what they don't want. But people should make demands to be like, well, what does that mean exactly?
And
explain yourself.
And we have to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about Lynn Swann was a sports announcer. When did he become a sports announcer?
Oh, we could talk about that.
And not only that, but at the time that he did it, this was in the 70s, right?
It started in the 80s, yeah.
Okay. What did he have to give up as a person of African descent to get that gig?
We could talk about that at that point.
So let's take a break. I'm talking to David Zirin. He's a journalist for edgeofsports.com. Great website, great columns. And he's a columnist for Slam and the Nation. He's joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about Lynn Swann for governor. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back.
Still got things to say, fighting on.
Yeah, yeah.
What am I supposed to do? Hey, gonna help fight for you. Didn't come all this way just to lose.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sam's Club. Southbound 270 between Dorset and Ladue. Stop and go traffic due to an earlier accident. Northbound 270 between Dorset and 70. Look for that accident cleared. The traffic jams approaching Dorset. Westbound 44 between Washington and 50. Look for construction left lanes closed. Eastbound 44 from Moraz Overpass to Merrimack River Bridge. That traffic's easing up now. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 between Cave Springs and Earth City Expressway. No problems there. Westbound 270 at West Florissant. That traffic is easing this hour. Westbound 44 between Allington, Six Flags, and Pacific Viaduct. Look for roadways reduced to one lane as the two right lanes are closed as they're removing boulders from a bluff at this hour. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and Hanley. Still have heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, heavy volume as well. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 at 79. That traffic's finally easing up. Your bridges look like this. Westbound 5570 split from 4th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. And northbound routes 3 from Monsanto to the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic has returned back to normal. Westbound 64 to 5570 split looks good. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sam's Club. When you shop at Sam's Club, you get the same everyday low cost on items for your home as you do for items for your business. Sam's Club, we're in business for small business. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 45. This evening, clear with a low around 25. Thursday, partly cloudy, high around 50. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 35. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high again around 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 28 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 30. The wind chill feels like 19 out there, but we have clear, sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
It's the biggest change at WGNU in 30 years, and it's coming Monday, January 30th.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens, on 9:20 a.m., 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
He's back.
By popular demand and because it's so right on time, we're putting President Bush back on the couch. Yes, Dr. Justin Frank returns to the next edition of Mondays at 9 for another analysis of the chief executive. Is the domestic spying issue indicative of a controlling personality? Does the president completely depend on Dick Cheney, or is he merely a puppet deciding who pulls the strings? So many more issues have cropped up that we decided another session was in order. Don't miss Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, our special guest on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Real life. On the cutting edge, it's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Flow like a butterfly, I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the
greatest man alive.
Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the
greatest man alive.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My guest this morning is author David Zirin, journalist for EdgeOfSport.com and columnist for Slam and The Nation. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about Lynn Swann for governor. Welcome back, Dave.
Oh, great to be here, Liz.
You like that music coming in?
That's tremendous.
Hey, you like that? All
yeah.
Right. All right. So tell us about what Lynn Swann had to do to become a sports announcer. What do you have to give up?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, his ambitions were always something that were beyond the football field. He actually did start his doing some announcing in 1976 when he was still a player, which is very rare. And he also, his actual playing career was actually quite short. In terms of statistics, it is, you know, I'm not saying this to take a cheap shot at him because I don't like his politics, but in terms of statistics, he really probably has some of the least impressive statistics of any wide receiver in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Played 8 years, 3 Pro Bowls, less than 500 catches, but because he was a Super Bowl hero, won 4 Super Bowls, full Super Bowl MVP, he's in the Hall of Fame. Now, I mention all this because he really is somebody, and to this you have to sort of tip your hat to him, who always had his eye on the post-football life, and, you know, a lot of players have a tremendous difficulty hanging it up, and it's a very rare player. You think of people like Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, and you got to put Lynn Swann in this category, the very short category of people who actually walked away and didn't limp away from the game.
And the atmosphere at the time in 76, when he was doing some announcing, what was it like for black players in the league? And what was it, I mean, and what did television look like for black reporters, period?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about the mid-70s, you're talking about a time where you really are getting the first wave of it being acceptable to have African-American sideline reporters in sort of side roles, as well as former athletes. And that was an atmosphere that, you know, Lynn Swann took advantage of. It was also an atmosphere, though, it's worth looking at the broader political picture at that time, where a lot of the movements of the late 60s and early 70s were starting to decline in a serious way. And it was a time where the general ethos, you know, looking ahead to the Reagan years, was you got to look out for yourself, you got to get yours, you know, don't worry about your brother next to you, just look out for yourself. And it's hard not to see Lynn Swann really embodying that. You know, if Jim Brown embodied this idea and still does embody the idea that you reach out for the one next to you, it's hard to see where Lynn Swann looks at something else, you know, looks like something else.
And he has been rather pragmatic, I mean, with his eye on the prize type of a lifestyle. I'm looking at these campaign contributions that he has made, and he has consistently, I mean, he's given thousands of dollars to the Bush administration. He's given thousands of dollars to Peter Coors from the Senate. I mean, he has been very pragmatic and methodical almost of moving toward making the move for this.
Yeah, no, he said himself up nicely to do it. And, you know, keep in mind, he's also on the board of the Heinz Corporation, which is, you know, the most powerful corporation, you know, in the state of Pennsylvania. You know, that's, of course, John Heinz, the late senator, Republican, his widow, Teresa, of course, married to John Kerry. You know, and when people were talking about John Kerry having $1 billion in the bank to run his campaign, they were talking about Heinz.
Mm.
And Lynn Swann is on that board.
Do we know of any kind of issue that Lynn Swann has? Because, again, he is technically running on his race. Do we know of any kind of issues that Lynn Swann has attached himself to or been affiliated with that have had anything to do with black people?
Well, certainly, just I would argue not very positively. An issue that Lynn Swann has always felt very strongly about is what he calls educational dynamism, but which in reality is another way of saying charter schools. And, you know, I live in a city here, Washington, D.C., that has the largest number of charter schools per capita in the United States. And one reason for that is because, you know, we're controlled by Congress. We don't have local representative government. So a lot of Congress people, they set up these pet projects in Washington, D.C., you know, schools that they could never get away with setting up in their own communities because they would meet such resistance. And this kind of educational dynamism, which has not done good things for my city, is the kind of thing that Lynn Swann stands with.
And with regard to the him ducking the debate, not having the debate, what's the Republican Party's position on that? Are they? I'm sure that they're not pushing a debate.
Well, people in William Scranton's corner are saying, you know, this is an outrage. You know, we should this group of, you know, the small Republican endorsing group. Remember, it's kind of a weird system there, where, you know, the folks get together with the cigars in the back room and say before the primaries who's going to get there with the weight behind it, and it's a very important endorsement to give. Scranton is saying, well, you just shouldn't endorse anybody because he won't debate, so let the people decide without influence. But what?
Oh, yeah, like that's going to happen.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, I don't know what Scranton's smoking there, but that is not going to happen. I mean, their response has been basically to laugh that off, and they generally think that Lynn Swann was quite savvy to avoid the debate because, you know, it's one of those things where the more people just sort of see him as Hall of Fame football player, former Super Bowl hero, you know, especially with the Steelers in the Super Bowl right now.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That's just like, that's gold for them, and they don't want to mess that up by him actually speaking.
I guess that the school of thought is better for folks to see an empty chair than an empty suit.
I think so. I think so. It's better to see the smile than the words that come out of it.
Mm. And how are people of African descent broaching this?
Well, I mean,
in Pennsylvania.
Well, it's one of those interesting things where he doesn't have to get a majority of the black vote. He just needs to make some very subtle inroads, particularly in Philadelphia, where Rendell was the mayor. And, you know, he's got this worked out. And at this point, he is making progress. I mean, the campaign hasn't really started. Excuse me. Sorry about that. But it is true that as recently as last fall, you're talking about in a projected election, Swan losing to Rendell by 12 points. The latest poll has him winning by 2 points, which with a margin of error means they're basically tied.
And surely the Democrats are responding to this in some way.
Yeah, they're responding to it by not fighting back, basically.
So we're doing more right now than they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of actually confronting who he is and what he stands for, and putting it up against the needs of working people in that state and people of African descent, that is something they do not do. They're so scared of being accused of class war or playing the race card that they let Republicans play a different kind of class war and pluck 52 race cards out of the deck and don't say a thing.
But that's the brilliance, that's the evil brilliance of the Republican Party, because the Democrats are saying, well, yeah, I guess we do take black people for granted. What are we going to say about it? What are we going to do about it? And they sit back and do nothing. And don't fight back at all.
This is my most favorite story in that regard from the last several months. I did a lot of writing on the case of the late Stan Tookie Williams, executed in California, former founder of the Crips. Jamie Foxx played him in the movie. I know you're familiar with the case.
And could you hold that thought, please, because we have to take a break.
Oh,
okay.
This is a good one, though.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
All right, hold that thought. We're
okay.
Going to take a break. I'm with David Zirin. He's a journalist for edgeofsports.com, columnist for Slam and the Nation. He's joining us in Washington, D.C., from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back.
Is brought to you by attorney Albert Walton, helping people get paid for over 25 years.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. Democracy is costing the ordinary Iraqi citizen a lot of money. Prices on nearly everything have soared since the U.S. invasion nearly 3 years ago. American officials are pushing for privatization, and when that happens, thousands of people who have government-sponsored jobs will become unemployed. One thing that has happened is that tariffs on imports were slashed across the board, and now cheap goods are flooding in from China and elsewhere. This is causing products that were made in Iraq to become costly and even putting manufacturers out of business. Food rations were originally set up to help some 8 million people survive on less than a dollar a day, but even those have been slashed by 25%. U.S. officials say things are going as planned, though, because the gross domestic product is up from $800 before the war to over $1,000 now. Plus, the sale of phones, cars, and air conditioners are off the charts. But the poor are still being hurt, because when the December elections were concluded, the government cut gasoline subsidies, causing the price of gas to rise from 13 cents a gallon to 40 cents. And the populace has to wait for hours to even get any. As far as reconstruction projects go, many of the large foreign construction firms that have come in after winning projects are not even using Iraqis on the work. Instead, they're getting cheap laborers from poor countries to keep their profits high. This is another piece of the puzzle that keeps the unrest on the front burner and has caused the concerns for security throughout the country. This is your wake-up call global news update.
When you've been hurt in an accident, there are many things to consider. Doctor's bills, time lost from work, medical costs, ongoing injuries, pain and suffering. For over 25 years, attorney Albert Walton has helped people get paid for their property, paid for their pain and suffering, paid for their loss. Before you talk to anyone, call 314-388-3400. That's 388-3400 and talk to attorney Albert Walton. Walton for free. If you've been hurt, let attorney Albert Walton's knowledge and experience help you get paid. 314-388-3400.
Talk radio that discusses what matters most to you. It's coming to AM 920, Monday, January 30th.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
He's back.
By popular demand and because it's so right on time, we're putting President Bush back on the couch. Yes, Dr. Justin Frank returns to the next edition of Mondays at 9 for another analysis of the chief executive. Is the domestic spying issue indicative of a controlling personality? Does the president completely depend on Dick Cheney, or is he merely a puppet deciding who pulls the strings? So many more issues have cropped up that we decided another session was in order. Don't miss Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, our special guest on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to David Zirin, and we're talking about Lynn Swann. And I caught you in the middle
all
of
kinds of things.
Caught you in the middle of a story, Dave. Share it with us.
Well, I'm sure, Liz, you talked on your show about the case of Stan Tookie Williams.
Absolutely.
And that was a case that I started writing about really through the eyes of someone we spoke about earlier, Football Hall of Famer Jim Brown, because he's someone who's been involved in a tremendous amount of anti-gang activity, and he's somebody who stood up for Tookie at a time when it was deeply, deeply needed. And so I wrote about it from that perspective. Now, when Tookie, we were talking about the Democrats not fighting and the Republicans fighting, and when Tookie was actually executed, as you may remember, or as the build-up to his execution took place, I mean, the Republicans were absolutely on the warpath in California. I mean, there was a radio show in California called the Kill Tookie Hour.
Yes.
And, I mean, they just were absolutely fanatical that this guy must be executed. We don't care how many kids he takes off the path to gang life. We don't care how many lives he saves. We don't care that killing him solves absolutely nothing. We don't care about doubts about his case, certainly. We only care that he's a political person behind bars and therefore needs to die. And that's on one side of things. On the Democrat side of things, you didn't hear, not even from African-American Democratic politicians, you didn't hear a coherent argument that Jim Brown and other activists were making that Tookie should live. Instead, what did you see them do? You saw them hit the streets of South Central, hit the streets of East L.A., and saying, like, oh, we can't have any riots when Tookie dies.
And that's hush-up. It's a hush-up attitude.
It's a hush-up attitude. Mm-hmm. It's what it is. It's like it's a boss's B-team attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you got the A-team that tries to kill him and the B-team that, frankly, I think they perceive it, calms down the savages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's like everybody gets to play their role.
Mm-hmm.
Yet who suffers at the end of the day for this? I mean, we all suffer, because what you don't get, first and foremost, is a principled debate.
And there was
a one-sided, one-mouthed debate.
There was absolutely no principled debate on a national level on his execution,
right,
at all.
And there was something, I mean, there was obvious, on one level, there was some good that came out of this. You saw, I mean, really historic ties begin to develop between groups like the NAACP and the Nation of Islam, and a whole series of anti-death penalty groups that previously had never worked together before. But the whole reason why they had to come together in the first place is because of that gap in our political system.
That nobody is there fighting.
Exactly.
Mm. I'm looking at it's an evil, evil brilliance. I'm looking at this, some literature from Swan for Governor. And it is. I mean,
no, I agree.
It's entitled About Lynn Swan. And the first line is, Lynn Swan's life has always been about seizing opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Code word opportunities is pull yourself up by your bootstraps. There's no such thing as racism in this country. All you have to do is try harder and you will succeed by seizing opportunities. And it's so twisted, because as a person of African descent, that's a word that's never been in our vocabulary in this country. It's about eliminating opportunities for people of African descent.
You know, and what else is horrifying about that is that his family was born in Tennessee, but then quickly moved, as many African American families did, to the West Coast, to California, as an effort to escape Jim Crow. So instead of Lynn Swan's life has been about seizing opportunities, like Lynn Swan has a life because his parents got out of the apartheid South.
Mm.
But that would mean actually confronting the structural racism that literally defined his upbringing in that regard.
Every other sentence in this statement about Lynn Swan is the word opportunity. It is just so twisted and so evil. He says that he used his celebrity status to raise money to provide scholarships for the ballet. Huh?
Huh? There you go.
Huh? He's raising money for the ballet and telling black people that they should be mad at the Democrats for taking them for granted. Excuse me?
Yeah, not taking them to the ballet,
huh.
I guess. I mean, talk about dancing the dance of politics, I guess.
So in terms of a quick compare and contrast, because if we're going to use this word opportunities, let's use the word opportunities. What opportunities did Lynn Swan miss by not going the same path as a contemporary of his, as Jim Brown? Do a compare and contrast between these two people.
So what did Lynn Swan miss?
Yeah, I mean, he could have taken the opportunity to go down the same path as Jim Brown.
Well, certainly what he missed more than anything is, you know, the opportunity to really be a different kind of sports hero. And that's the thing of Lynn Swan's playing generation, is that players were really confronted with a choice in many respects. Like, which side are you on choice?
Mm.
I mean, there was, in the late 60s and early 70s in this country, it's no exaggeration to say, a revolt of the black athlete in this country, where you had teams go on strike as opposed to playing in places that they would have to be segregated from each other, where you had teams actually come together and have moments of silence against racism, where you had teams go have moments of silence against the Vietnam War, which was, of course, very tied up in the black liberation struggle. You had teams protest for Muhammad Ali to have his title restored. The most stirring moment, of course, was seeing Tommy Smith and John Carlos with their black fisted medal salute at the 68 Olympics. And in the context of all of this, you had real opportunities that, frankly, people of my generation do not have, which I think we want to have, where you had serious struggles and you had to make a choice. And a lot of the people who made the choice to say, the heck with these struggles, I'm going to ride, you know, my own personal glory train. Mm. You know, when I rise, it will be from the ranks, not with the ranks. Mm. And that was the side that Lynn Swann took. And, you know, that was the side that others took as well. You know, George Foreman comes to mind, quite frankly. Mm. Not to be too hard on Big George, but...
Well, you know, yeah.
It is a fact of life, though, that he chose to wave an American flag and bow to the audience the day after John Carlos and Tommy Smith took their stand. And, you know, I interviewed George Foreman, and he, you know, he gave his philosophy that I would argue is probably Lynn Swann's philosophy as well, where he said, the problem with black people, this is how he said it, is that we celebrate before we emancipate. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he said,
what does that mean?
Yeah, no, I asked him because I had no idea. what that means basically is we need to look out for ourselves and for our bank accounts before we start talking about social change, because then the man will just take it away from us. But what that ignores, in addition to being, I would argue, morally irresponsible, what that also ignores is that once you get that money, well, what's the incentive then to say anything? Then before you know it, you're protecting what you have and not fighting for those who don't.
And so how's that whole liberation piece working out for us now that George Foreman is a multimillionaire?
Well, I mean, you know, we get greaseless hamburgers out of it, I guess.
There you go, David Zirin. Thank you so much.
Oh, my privilege, Liz. Anytime.
Pleasure. Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Almingar. It will be close. The full Senate is now debating Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito, ABC's Vic Ratner on Capitol Hill.
There's not much doubt how it will turn out. The closest vote on a Supreme Court nominee since Clarence Thomas 15 years ago. To Texas Republican John Cornyn, Samuel Alito is one of the best.
This is about people who are committed to the law above their personal or political agenda and are willing to decide cases in accordance with the law.
To Democratic leader Harry Reid, it's about more than one justice.
Now more than ever, we need a strong and independent court to be a check on President Bush.
Senate leaders hope for a full Senate vote by Friday. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
So far, there are no major problems as Palestinians head to the polls. More from ABC's Matt Gutman in East Jerusalem.
These are the first parliamentary elections in 10 years, and in truth, the Palestinians' most democratic elections ever. Palestinian legislator Ahmed Ghanaim called this...
It's one of the most historical days of the Palestinian people. We are moving to conduct our Palestinian sovereignty in Jerusalem.
He also said that a stronger and broader Palestinian government would be better able to push forward with the peace process. Matt Gutman, ABC News, East Jerusalem.
President Bush pays a visit today to the agency that runs his domestic spying program. He'll be at the National Security Agency at Fort Meade, Maryland today. ABC's Ann Compton says the visit itself is unusual.
The National Security Agency is so secretive. One official there once told me NSA stands for No Such Agency.
Congress begins hearings next month into whether the president has the authority to conduct the program. A Maryland man will be in court today charged in yesterday's shooting at a daycare center. Police say the man's son used one of his father's guns to shoot and wound a classmate. The father is a convicted felon. This is ABC News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are
thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services number NASD and SIPC.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-500-2001. That's 1-800-500-2001. 1-800-500-2001.
The brother of actor Sean Penn has died. Christopher Penn appeared in dozens of movies himself, usually in small roles. This man lived near Penn's Santa Monica, California home.
He was, you know, in good spirits, and we talked about a movie that he was working on. And you know, I guess thinking back now, he was fine.
Christopher Penn was 43. So you say your sweetie has everything. Here's a Valentine's Day gift for them.
Time to put your money where your mouth is. A Japanese jeweler has created what may be the world's most priceless Valentine, a 26-pound chocolate cake with 2,000 diamond sprinkles. The chocolate is edible, the diamonds are not. The cake has a market value of nearly $5 million. If one could afford it, says the jeweler, it would surely melt the heart of a wife, girlfriend, or prospective date. But interestingly, in Japan, it's usually women who buy Valentine's chocolates, spending an average of $30 per person, much less than the going price for this confectionery. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Here's another WGNU News update. This report is brought to you by Junior Achievement and America's Promise. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, the public needs to take precautions in every neighborhood against home invasions. That's the message from the O'Fallon, Illinois Police Department after a couple was shot over the weekend during a robbery at their apartment. Captain Jim Stover says you should have strong, solid front and back doors with deadbolts and call 911 if you hear any suspicious noises. The couple suffered non-life-threatening injuries. A $500 reward is being offered in the case. Anyone with information is urged to call O'Fallon Police. The number is 618-622-1508. In other news, all but a few hundred area residents have power this morning after spending part of yesterday in the dark. Yesterday's high winds caused thousands of people to lose power, many of them in Jefferson County and Fenton. The metro area spent much of yesterday under a high wind advisory, with gusts reaching 50 miles per hour. The wind caused some damage, including downed power lines, but no injuries are reported. In St. Louis, Archbishop Raymond Burke is speaking out on the approaching closure of the Hazelwood Ford plant. Burke says the idling of the plant in March and its official closure in late 2007 is a matter of great concern, quote, and the loss of so many jobs will lead to a critical situation for the community. Catholic Family Services will be moving its Northwest County Center to St. Sabina Parish in Florissant on February 1st. The center will be able to provide counseling and other services to laid-off Ford workers and their families. And the 2006 Missouri Prevention First Act is designed to reduce the number of abortions in the state. That's according to Senator Joan Bray, who filed Senate Bill 943 yesterday. The Democratic senator says the measure calls for restoring the Women's Health Services program. The proposed legislation also includes education and would require pharmacists to fill prescriptions for emergency contraception. That's a WGNU News report brought to you by Junior Achievement and America's Promise. Junior Achievement kicks off Job Shadow Day, Thursday, February 2nd. Job shadowing gives workplace experiences to young people. Be a mentor. Visit jobshadow.org. ING is the proud national sponsor. Reporting for WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Northbound 270 at Gravelway and 44 is an accident. Right lane is blocked. Expect a backup near Gravelway. Westbound 44 from Washington to 50. Look for left lane closed due to road construction. Eastbound 270 from 367. Look for road maintenance operations. One lane will be closed. Southbound 270 at Sappington and Tesson Ferry. Road maintenance has right lane closed. Southbound 55 at TT in Jefferson County. Right lane closed due to road maintenance operations there. Eastbound 70 between K and Blanchett looks good. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way to New Florence, and everything's on the move. Northbound 55 from Weber Road on to 44. Expect no problems there. Westbound 44 at Allington, Six Flags all the way to Pacific Viaduct. Look for the right lane to be closed as they're removing boulders from the side of the road. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, traffic is easing. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, look for that traffic to be easing as well. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, the traffic's easing up now. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Cleese Landing looks good. And McCausland at Southwest are reported the lights not working there at Gravoy and Hampton. And at Newhalls Ferry and Pershall, they're all not working there on red flash. Eastbound 30 at 270, look for an accident. The right lane is blocked. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap on the screen and a helpful voice guides you to where you're going and you're on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Mostly sunny, high around 45. This evening, clear with a low around 25. Thursday, partly cloudy, a high around 50. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 35. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high near 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 30 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 31, both under clear skies as the wind chill still makes it feel like it's 20 outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Help me, brother. Help me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Help me, brother. Help me, sister.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound, that's below, that's the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Help me, brother. Help me, sister.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. My website is lizbrown.com. That's lizbrown.com. And if you want to catch the hour that you missed last hour, if you missed it, an hour that you missed before that, if you missed it, get on over to whiterosesociety.org and get your listen on. We have so much stuff to talk about. I just have to say this. Given that we have a EPA that has given approval to the pesticide testing of pregnant women and the pesticide testing of children. Yeah, it's true. It's true. George Bush stands for pro-life means the ability to suck on a can of Raid and make money for it if you're a pregnant woman. That's what pro-life is to this administration. I'd like to know where are all the people with the signs that are concerned about life with an administration that has given its approval to, a go-ahead to, the ability of pesticide companies to test on pregnant women in the United States of America, right here where we live. So that's the type of place where we live, that they allow for stuff like that. So it kind of makes you kind of question, huh? Is the EPA really testing for problems out here? Are they really trying to protect us? If they're down with pesticide companies testing pesticides, spraying Raid into the mouth of pregnant women, If they're down with that, can I really trust that they're out there protecting our environment? So when you read a story about how there is now a weight loss pill that has been introduced to that the FDA is going to give approval for over-the-counter use. This is a weight loss pill that doctors had prescribed. And I look at an article about this, and I think, huh, please don't tell me that I don't know what I know. Why are we hearing about the approval of a over-the-counter weight loss drug in January? Isn't that when most people start their dieting thing up? And at the time, so you get this front page story. This is a front page story. This is a front page of the. Why is a story about a weight loss drug that is now going to be offered to all of us over the counter on the front page of any newspaper, even the trifling Post-Dispatch? Why is it on the cover? There is a campaign going on to get to the pockets of you all. And let me throw this out there. Do you trust that the same FDA that gave you Vioxx, the same EPA that's giving you pesticide testing on pregnant women and saying, I'm down with it, do you trust that the FDA has done all the testing that needs to be done or told us the true results of this drug that they're putting on the front page of the paper in January to get you inspired to buy it? This is going to be bigger than what's the little blue pill that men take? What it begins with a V, and the V's not for victory, the V's for Viagra. This is going to be bigger than Viagra. Because Viagra was just men that wanted the pill. Weight loss, understand, connect the dots, ladies and gentlemen, connect the dots. The United States is probably the most overweight nation on the face of the earth. We're being inundated. Children are being inundated. Commercials are coming at children 24/7 during cartoons, during on networks designed for children, pushing them to make bad eating choices. Our babies are too big. Our adults are too big. Our grown-ups are too big. Then looky, looky. We have this pill that comes down the pike from GlaxoSmithKline for weight loss. It's a fat blocker. That means eat your Cheetos and Snickers. Just pop a pill. And do you trust that the people that are saying that it's safe to take have made it safe for you or made it safe for those that are selling it to you? We know that the companies that are selling it to you are well protected. They can lay their little heads down on their 500 count sheets at night, knowing that they won't ever have to get a loss. They won't ever have to face a lawsuit from you if something they've done wrong causes harm to you and your family for the rest of their lives. They're safe. They got theirs. You got yours? You got yours? John.
Hello, Liz. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Fine. Liz, I want you to answer two questions for me.
Two questions. All right.
Two. One is, why is it so hard for the school's students to earn 24 credits than it was as when I was going to school? It was 32 credits needed to graduate.
Okay.
And the second one is, why would I waste my time filibustering if I already know how I'm going to vote?
Okay, who's the I that you're talking about?
Huh?
Who's the I that you're referring to when you're
saying... I'm saying, what's the purpose of filibustering?
Okay, are you talking as a Democrat or as a Republican? Who's either side.
I mean, if I already know how I'm going to vote, what's the purpose of a filibuster?
A filibuster means that the nomination doesn't go through. That means that he doesn't get the job.
Would my vote mean the same thing?
You can't vote because you don't get to vote because you don't get to the step of voting because somebody is filibustering. Think of a filibuster as a roadblock. They've put up a roadblock so you can't get to where you want to go, and where the Republicans want to go is a vote. They won't get to the vote because the filibuster stops them from getting to the vote. Does that make sense to you? Is it clear for you now? What don't you understand?
So why put up the roadblock? When it comes to me, I can already say no.
But John, just listen one more time.
Okay.
You don't get to vote if there is a filibuster. The filibuster, people talk, you never get to vote. So the people that don't want, because what happens if you go to the vote, that Alito is going to be confirmed because there are more Republican votes than there are Democratic votes.
Okay, but, I got you there.
Okay, so okay. How do the Democrats stop the vote from taking place? Because they know what's going to be the outcome. There are more Republicans than Democrats. How do you stop the vote? You filibuster before the vote. You filibuster, and if your filibuster is successful, if you keep talking long enough, if your filibuster is successful, then they never get to vote for his confirmation, and the Republicans lose.
Got you.
Okay? Now, with regard to the credits issue, the discussion that we were having on the Schools Watch this morning was about how some kids end up at graduation, they don't have enough credits. What has happened, John, is that one of the things, when you went to school, there were counselors there. There were people that were holding the hands of children and counting the credits that they needed to have. What has happened in the St. Louis public schools is the people that are keeping track of the credits that know what it's not that children don't want to take the courses. They get to high school or they get to their senior year and they find out that I needed an extra English credit in order for me to graduate. You don't want your babies to get to that point. And the way that they don't get to that point is when you have people that are hired, academics, teachers, counselors, that make certain, whose job it is to make certain that the kids have the credits that they need to graduate. They're capable of getting the credits. It's just that the people that were making sure that the kids were getting the credits aren't hired anymore. They don't hire those people anymore.
Okay, I got you on that too.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, John.
All right. Thanks, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. I found this quote, and it's on somebody's website, but it's attributed to Dante, and I think I'm going to just put it on a T-shirt. The quote from Dante is this: "The hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a period of moral crisis, maintain their neutrality." I love that. And the person that comes to mind is, who's the person that comes to my mind? Golly, my head is spinning. All the people that come to mind. But let me start with the junior senator from New York, Hillary Clinton. She's been given a whole lot of attention for the comments that she made at Canaan Baptist Church in Harlem on Martin Luther King Day. And I can't tell you how despicable it was to hear her say that using the plantation, when you look at the way the House of Representatives has been run, it has been run like a plantation. And it wasn't enough that she said that, but then she looked behind at all the black people that were up on the stage with her, and she said in her paternalistic mint julep sipping, veranda reclining, southern white bell position, she said, "Y'all know what I mean, and you know what I'm talking about." Huh. Offensive, unacceptable, intolerable, and indefensible. Paternalistic in its most foul sense of the word. Huh. Here is the other piece of this. And another columnist has pointed this out, and I have to concur. She comes strutting into the Canaan Church in Harlem on Martin Luther King Day, mint julep in hand, and wants to speak to black folks about, y'all know what a plantation is. And what is so particularly egregious, what is especially egregious about this mint julep haughtiness of the junior senator from New York is this: the place where she was, Canaan Baptist Church, the day that she was there, Martin Luther King Day, King gave his famous speech on opposing the Vietnam War right there. Right there. She's standing in his house where he was. And he had the courage of conviction and the moral compass to speak truth to power. And Hillary Clinton came into that same church. And instead of talking to black people on Martin Luther King about Martin Luther King's day about opposing the war, I guess, maybe she couldn't get her mint julep down without choking. Had she talked about Martin Luther King's principled moral stance when he stood in opposition to the Vietnam War. Maybe she couldn't get those words out without choking on her julep. Because, oh yeah, she's for the war. Oh, yeah. She's passed, what does she call it, an anti-flag burning bill. It was disgusting. It is... you're not allowed to do that with enslavement. You are not allowed to use the history of my people, the wickedness of enslavement, as political currency. You're not allowed to let those words come out your mouth in order to say something about you that is not true. You're not entitled to do that. You're not allowed to touch it. You're not allowed to use it. Unless you are denouncing the wrongfulness of it and passing legislation to underscore your view of the wrongness of it, those words don't get to come out your mouth. You don't know anything about a plantation, about what my people experienced as a result of wicked, racist enslavement. And the idea that you're using it to further your political career is despicable and indefensible. And woe to those who stand in line to defend what she did. It was wrong. It was wrong. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Dave, you're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
Yeah, Miss Brown, I got a couple of comments. The first is that Hillary Clinton. Some people don't realize when they being insulted. To me, if I was in the audit, I would took that as an insult.
It was an insult. Whether you took it as so, whether you accepted it as so or not, an insult doesn't have to come with your approval. An insult is an insult that it stands on its own.
Exactly. And on this vote of Alito, do the Republicans realize that they are voted themselves out of power?
Why would they think that?
Because the point is they probably don't think that they are.
That's what they think. they don't think they are at all.
Exactly.
They have sized up their opposition and said, I can take them.
Yeah,
I can take them.
And
guys.
I think that's what the way Bush is cultivating the power for himself. That branch of government won't have any say so over anything.
Mm.
You have a good one, Liz.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. I'll get back to your calls and your comments and your questions and your concerns and all that good stuff. Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. WGNU Radio 920 on your AM dial. WGNU.net. We're streamed there. Get to me.
Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy, she say. Matty, don't you whip that boy.
You're listening to AM 920 WGNU.
It'll change everything you know about AM 920. It's coming to WGNU Monday, January 30th.
Spectacular skating, laughter, and unforgettable moments. Hi, it's Scott Hamilton, the producer of Smucker's Stars on Ice. This year's show celebrates our 20th anniversary, and we are so excited. It's a show about the show. You'll get a behind-the-scenes look from the past 20 years and see how it all happens, from auditions and rehearsals to opening night and everything in between. From our most shining accomplishments to some of the less-than-perfect moments, see skating's best Olympic and world champions in this one-night-only performance of Smucker's Stars on Ice.
With special guest Kurt Browning coming to Savas Center Friday, February 3rd, 7:30 p.m. Your tickets are on sale now at the box office, all Ticketmaster outlets, and at Ticketmaster.com. Kids and senior discounts available. Smucker's Stars on Ice, an IMG production.
It's going to be a great celebration, the 20th anniversary tour of Smucker's Stars on Ice.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for today's solutions with David Lenihan from 4 to 6.
Listen to the Angels Watching broadcast, heard here on WGNU 920 AM each Saturday, time 4:30 p.m. and each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Be blessed. Listen to Brother Steve Moore, Mr. Celebrity himself, on WGNU 920 each Saturday at 4:30 and each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Don't miss it.
Come on, knowing everything's going to be all right.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams,
389-9700. He's back.
By popular demand and because it's so right on time, we're putting President Bush back on the couch. Yes, Dr. Justin Frank returns to the next edition of Mondays at 9 for another analysis of the chief executive. Is the domestic spying issue indicative of a controlling personality? Does the president completely depend on Dick Cheney, or is he merely a puppet deciding who pulls the strings? So many more issues have cropped up that we decided another session was in order. Don't miss Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, our special guest on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Informative. Educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I've got a hard road to travel and a rough way to go. And it's a hard road to travel and a rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. And my faith will see me through.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Email revolution@lizbrown.com. We're streamed 24/7 at WGNU.net. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. William, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Liz, I disagree with you about Hillary Clinton.
Okay, tell me why.
I think her analogy of the plantation was correct as pertaining to this administration. Mm-hmm. If you were a plantation owner, you didn't care about the poor whites. You didn't care about your slaves. You didn't care about anything else other than your opinion and what you wanted to do. That's exactly what this administration has done. They've taken the voice away from everybody else
William,
in this country.
William, if I just may interrupt for a second, because I do want to be able to get to everybody on these thoughts, but you're missing or you're misunderstanding my point with my assessment of Hillary Clinton. I am not making the point at all that the Republican Party has had an absolutely beyond description foul record with regard to people of African descent and with regard to this country in its entirety. That is, it is an absolutely correct thing to say that the Republican Party is, and we could take 17 hours out of every day to talk about it. That's not my point. My point is the appropriateness of this person coming to these people at this time in this place and saying these particular words. And my and the reason and I, as I said a few minutes ago, number one, Hillary Clinton has an abysmal record on the war. She is pro-war. She's in Martin Luther King's church, where Martin Luther King made his principled speech in opposition to the Vietnam War. She makes this comment about plantation, and then she turns, because it's not just the words, it's the entire context of the words, then she turns to her shoulder, looks at all the black people sitting there, and she says to them, you know what I'm talking about. Now, she's not talking about any white people on anybody's plantation. She's talking to black people about enslavement and about the people, about the treatment that people receive as a result of their enslavement. That is a pandering. That is a, particularly with the person with her record, it is a, it's a wrongful thing to say, and it's a wrong type, and it's at the wrong place.
I didn't take it that way. I didn't listen to it as part of being a racial or slave state.
Plantation.
I took it as a
plantation.
I took it.
And she said, "Y'all know." She said, "Y'all know what you mean. What I mean. What do you mean?" She looked at black people.
The hierarchy of a plantation and the way in which this administration has functioned. It's atrocious, and they function exactly like the hierarchy of a plantation with ruling from the top down.
And again, Hillary Clinton looked at the, and you have to look at everything that a person, I mean, the entire context that a person said that. She looked at black people and she said to them, you know what I mean when I'm talking about a plantation. What does she mean when she said that?
Yeah, you know what? And I'll tell you something. A lot of white people should know what she means.
But that's neither here nor there. That's neither here nor there.
If more white people knew what she meant, this man would have been voted out of office.
And then she needs to be talking to white people about it, as opposed to looking at black people and saying that. And it's neither here nor there what white people should or shouldn't know. No, she was talking to black people about enslavement. And there's no other way to look at it when she said.
I did not take it as.
I understand that you didn't. I understand that you didn't. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Don, good morning. Don.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. I have a couple of things. Number one, that plantation thing was started by Newt Gingrich, and he said the same thing about the Democrats, and he even used the word that the Republicans were enslaved. So, I mean, that's not the first time that that has been used.
And what does that have to do with it? Wait a minute, let's discuss that. What difference does it make that it's not the first? It's not the first time that black people have ever been insulted or racist.
You were saying that white people have heard this before.
I didn't say anything about white people in my discussion about this at all. This is all about what the comments meant to people of African descent and the impact of that. I'm not talking about white people. And simply because another white person has engaged in racist behavior or pandering behavior doesn't mean that another person gets to do that. You don't point to somebody that's doing something wrong and say, well, somebody else did it wrong, so it must be right. That's not how it works.
Okay. The other thing is I look at C-SPAN all the time, and you make the comment that Democrats aren't fighting for correct policies. Mm-hmm. And I see Democrats get on the House floor all the time and make the statement that they're cut off in committee, they're cut off on the floor, the things that they want to do, their policies aren't even voted on sometimes in committee.
And
so,
here's what I would say.
They do get on the minute.
I got you. You already said that.
Okay.
Now let me respond to that. The fact of the matter is I'm not talking about individual Democrats. I've had white, black, I've had all kinds of Democrats on my show talking about the issues that are important. I'm talking about the organizational structure of the Democratic Party. You have to have it top-down leadership. You have to have an agenda. That when you hear Republicans go out there, that when they talk, they all use exactly the same words, okay?
Well, Nancy Pelosi...
That's only recently. That's only recently. That's only recently.
Gotten on the floor and said some
culture.
Of the same thing.
No. You got to feel me on this, Don. I can't believe I have to have this discussion. The Democrats, as an organization, have not come up with an agenda, have not come up with a plan, and have not come up with a strategy to engage in a fight of resistance to the Republican Party. Their plan for, the reason why they said yes to George Bush going to war is that their plan was, okay, we're going to let him go ahead and do this, and then when he fails, then we'll jump on him. Well, he's failed, and you haven't organizationally jumped on him. Let me give you an example of that. When you had Harry Reid coming out talking about great phrase that the Democrats are finally using, culture of corruption, when he came out and said that turning over ethics to the Republicans is like putting John Gotti in charge of law enforcement. Do you know what he did the next day, Don? He came back out and apologized for that. Do you hear me?
Well, I don't think there was no need to apologize.
And that's the problem with leadership. There's no plan. There's no strategy. There's no plan. And
but
that's the problem.
The thing, though, is, don't you think that there's such an organized...
that's what a wimp
says.
You
know, like radio, TV...
That's what wimps...
On the Republican side.
Don, that's
if
what...
If a Democrat raises his head, they smack him in the mouth.
And that's what wimps say. It hurts.
Okay.
It hurts.
Okay.
I'm going to stop fighting. It hurts.
Okay.
Got to go. Bye.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Hakeem, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Liz.
Yes. What's on your mind?
My comment is about the spy program by the Bush regime.
Yes.
Okay. 2 years ago in April of 2004, Secret Service appeared at my door at 10:30 at night, and they said their stated reason for being here was that they intercepted an email I sent because it had the words Bush and Bin Laden in the same sentence.
Shut up.
Now, you got 2 years later, here goes George Bush saying that we don't spy on Americans. Now, that email I sent wasn't to Pakistan, India, Saudi Arabia, anywhere like that. It was in my own neighborhood here in St. Louis, Missouri. So I guess as an attorney would put it, was Secret Service lying then or is George Bush lying now? I mean, because they both could
Here's what
tell
you
the
need
truth.
To do. Here's what you need to do. I would do my best to try and contact the ACLU and other people that have filed lawsuits against the government on the Spying on American Act by George W. Bush, because because the government's not telling us who they're spying on. So they're looking for people that have been spied upon. I would do my best to try to contact someone and see if they can include you in that suit. Got to roll.
Okay.
Thank you. Bill, you're on the wake-up call.
Yes. Yes. Appreciate your taking my call.
Certainly.
That's very nice. Listen to your program all the time. Get a lot of good ideas from it. Some not so good, but that's my opinion. The thing I wanted to talk about right quick, and I know you're on a good roll with Hillary Clinton, but I know that there's an awful lot of black people out there that can see right through Hillary and know just exactly where she's headed, what she wants to do. So I don't particularly worry about that. I know that a lot of the black people know how to not handle with her. But what I was calling about was the Tom Salk Dam and the damage that it did and the damage that's going to happen all over the state of Missouri that people don't know anything about, because Union Electric and any of the repairs or even the dismantling of that plant.
Can you do me a favor, Bill?
Yes.
We have to take a break, and I'm going to take a break. I'm going to put you on hold.
Go ahead.
I'll let you finish your thought when we
sure.
come back. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
Shall get them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own. That's got his own.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Kuwait City.
The Parliament of Kuwait has voted to remove Emir Sheikh Saad al-Sabah from power because of concerns over his poor health. Prime Minister Sheikh Sabah al-Sabah will now be sworn in as the new emir following a unanimous vote. The previous emir, Jaber al-Sabah, died earlier this month. There is also word that Emir Saad al-Sabah had written a letter of abdication, but it was not received by the parliament until after the vote had taken place. And Dateline Washington. A new report indicates that government cost-cutting measures prevented some 250,000 veterans from getting health care with the VA. At the beginning of 2003, there were just under 7 million veterans enrolled for VA services. But now, with the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, that number has ballooned to over 7.5 million. Some of the veterans who, according to the government, no longer qualify are making too much money or do not have illnesses or injuries that are directly linked to their time in the military. The Veterans Administration is underfunded and had to ask for emergency money last year. The Bush administration has proposed that veterans pay for part of their care with co-payments. But so far, Congress has not agreed with that and has gone so far as to provide more money, some $23 billion, for the VA budget than the president had asked for. 10 years ago, Congress told the Veterans Administration that they had to open all health care to all veterans. But it also contained a caveat that enrollments could be suspended as needed. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Help young adults learn about law enforcement. The St. Louis County Police Explorer Post 9774 is holding a trivia night and silent auction this Saturday beginning at 6:30. The event will be held in the Parkway South Middle School cafeteria and the cost is $10 per person. The Explorers assist the West County Precinct and the community with law enforcement related volunteer efforts. Sodas and snacks are provided, but participants may bring additional food for their table. No alcoholic beverages are permitted. Call Officer Dustin Ponson at 636-256-7075 for additional information or reservations. A reminder from WGNU Radio.
Hi, if you enjoy listening to me, Laurie Fulkerson, every Thursday afternoon, visit my website at www.itsallaboutyouth.com. You'll get the latest schedule information for my international radio and TV program, It's All About Youth. You can also order my fitness videos, motivational audio tapes, beautiful jewelry, register for exciting giveaways, and learn about people from all walks of life who have stories to share with you. You can also schedule a life enrichment lecture for your church, school, business, or youth group. Call me at 314-275-7314. That's 314-275-7314. Or log on to www.itsallaboutyouth.com. If you live in the St. Louis area, watch the TV version of It's All About Youth at 5:30 Sunday morning on the UPN 46. Cable viewers, remember to check your listings to find the channel number for your UPN 46 on your system.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Hello, my name is Orlando, your host of Against the Flow. Against the Flow is a program designed to take you deeper into the mysteries of the Bible. And in order to do that, you have to go against the flow of the current brands of political Christianity being taught. It matters not what you believe, but what you are willing to believe. Your thoughts and comments are welcome here. Join me every Wednesday night from 10 to 11 as we go against the flow here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
He's back.
By popular demand and because it's so right on time, we're putting President Bush back on the couch. Yes, Dr. Justin Frank returns to the next edition of Mondays at 9 for another analysis of the chief executive. Is the domestic spying issue indicative of a controlling personality? Does the president completely depend on Dick Cheney, or is he merely a puppet deciding who pulls the strings? So many more issues have cropped up that we decided another session was in order. Don't miss Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, our special guest on the next edition of Mondays at 9. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Young hearts can go their way. Can't put it all another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Time has come today. I'm Liz Brown. Wake up call 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Bill.
Yes.
Yes.
Calling in regard to the Tom Salk Dam. And I'll make it very brief. The Tom Salk Dam problem could have been alleviated had federal inspectors and state inspectors noticed that there was no spillway prepared for this particular kind of a problem. Had there been a spillway that would have alleviated that water running over the side of the dam, then this problem never would have taken place. But the real seriousness of this whole thing is that Union Electric is going to charge each and every one of us for any of the repair or the dismantlement of this particular unit that was destroyed.
Well, that sucks, doesn't it?
And this is the way this thing is going to come down. They're going to say, well, the U.S. government didn't have any responsibility, and that the state of Missouri didn't have any responsibility over the design and construction of this, but that's a total lie. And they do, and the inspectors were there when this was built, and nobody brought up the fact that there should be a spillway like there should be on every single one of these type of units.
Mm.
So we're going to get nailed right in the feathers for the price of repairing or tearing this thing down, one or the other.
So what's the man-child doing about this?
Nothing. Mm. Just exactly what they normally do. Mm. Hands in pockets, you know, tongue in cheek.
All right. Well, thanks for that.
Thank you.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I don't understand why African Americans love Democrats. Bill Clinton put more black males in jail than anybody. Mm. I mean, he built jails, not schools. So I don't know why.
Remember, Bill Clinton jumped up on Sister Soldier. From the very beginning. So you knew from the get-go. Bill Clinton.
From the get-go.
He stopped in the middle of his campaign to go back home to attend the execution of a retarded man who was so retarded when they walked him out of his death cell down to put him in the chair, strap him in, and electrocute him to death. He left a piece of cake, and they said, well, why didn't you eat your cake? He said, well, I'll just come back and get it later. That's how retarded of a man it was that Bill Clinton killed on his way to the presidency.
Horrible person.
Horrible.
Can
horrible.
I say one more thing?
You sure can.
I used to do discrimination suits. I was in a union, and that's what I did. And the Democrats, black people will win, especially labor discrimination suits, all the time because they're blatant racists in the work area. But what happens is the government won't finance the people that you have to process the discrimination suit through. Mm. So it takes 5-10 years to get through. People die waiting on their case to come up. So if you think the Democrats care about you, you know, you're wrong. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call. You're on the wake-up call. 454-0400 is my phone. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about, huh? Huh. Prince Harry could serve in Iraq or Afghanistan as part of his duties with the household cavalry, the Ministry of Defense said today. Buckingham Palace announced this morning that Prince Harry will join the regiment after he completes his training at the military academy in April. It's fair to say that if his squadron goes to Iraq, he will probably go with it. You want to bet? You want to bet? Huh. If he does go to Iraq, he won't go outside. Denise, good morning.
I just also wanted to say that people are so upset about you talking about Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. but they forgot about reparations. There was no help with that.
How about this one? This is my favorite, Denise, and thank you for reminding me. Mm-hmm. My favorite one was, remember when all of those angry, righteous, dead-on, speaking truth to power black folks, fearless, went to the United States Senate after the election was stolen in the year 2000. They said, we just need one of your signatures to make a record of the thievery that took place. Where was Hillary at?
You're absolutely right. Where was Kerry at?
You know, where was Feingold at? Where were they at? And now they came back after they lost the second election and said, okay, we should have done that then. Well, you know, what good is that?
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. No? I don't think so. I think you're going to have to do that tomorrow. Here's what I'd like to do. Is wrap it up for today. I have to say that I found my most favorite quote. A favorite quote I think that should be tattooed on everybody. When you're thinking about, when you're talking about, when you're trying to figure out what you should do, remember that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a time of moral crisis, remain and stand neutral. Mm. I'm Liz Brown. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Stay strong.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brothers.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The White House frees up some big money to help the Gulf Coast rebuild after Hurricane Katrina, but some say it's too little, too late.
$11 billion in grant money is being released today for the Gulf Coast states heavily damaged by the hurricanes. And what makes this unusual, it goes out in community block grants, giving local leaders the flexibility to spend it as they